this, a call rang out across the land.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversaries.
Oh, and we're feeling pretty good because we're in here where it's nice and cool because it is blistering hot outside. Oh. Golly, I hope you folks are inside where it's cool, too, and listening to us. That's right. You got the American Adversaries on our three-hour Sunday evening classic tour as we're just departing the docks. That's me, Christopher Hart, and that other voice you just heard. That is Johnny Goods.
Where about half an hour ago, I was driving here with no AC.
Oh, my Lord. That is awful, man. I tell you, you just get that hot air blowing through, you know. But at least there was air blowing through because, you know, it's been pretty still out there today. A slight breeze, but it is dangerously hot. So if you are outside, make sure you stay in the shade as much as possible.
And hydrated.
Eat bananas. Eat you a banana. That'll do the trick right there. That'll save you from drinking a gallon of Gatorade, I guarantee you. Jeff Sinis is on the bridge.
How you doing?
So we're in good hands tonight. All right, 407-774-8255 is the number if you want to call us. 407-678-3399 is the number if you want to call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, and get the best in health-centered dentistry. And, of course, he is the sponsor of the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios, where we are coming to you live tonight. We'll be here until 8 o'clock, and then Armed American Radio takes over, and they'll take you live until 11 o'clock. Rays won a big game today. Keeps them tied for first place. Can you believe that?
I think the... I heard on the radio on the way over that looking like they're going to end the day in first place.
In sole possession of first place. Yeah, they're going to overtake the Yanks. Mm-hmm. But they had a big 2-1 victory today, big home run. And I guess, was it eighth inning or seventh or eighth inning, two-run home run that put them over the top. Yeah. So congrats to the Rays. If you've been listening to the post-game show and then good old the pain doctor St. Germain, then I hope you'll stick around and listen to us. And I hope you enjoy the show if you do. For all you regular listeners out there, once again, we want to thank you so very much for being with us tonight. We got a lot we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about a couple of Caitlins tonight. Yeah, we're going to be talking about that Caitlin. I think I'm going to start calling that Caitlin just Jenner. Just Jenner, you know, because Jenner is Jenner, whether it's Caitlin or Bruce. So
right.
Anyway, we'll be talking about the Jenner, and then we're going to talk about another Caitlin, a Caitlin you probably have not heard of because the media would not want you to know about this Caitlin and her plight because, of course, we have a Democrat as president. Should George W. Bush be president right now, or Jeb, or one of the other Republicans, Mitt Romney, I'm sure you would know all about this other Caitlin. So tonight we're going to be talking about her. Sunny, our California glow girl, is back in California, and she'll be checking in with us tonight. And Johnny Guns, of course, has some WTF news lined up. Carl Jackson will be checking in for his corner later on in this hour. And we, as I said, you got the phone, so you can give us a call and be a part of the show, too, if you like. And we'll be doing our traditional Who Said That contest tonight. So you'll definitely want to be sticking around for that in the next hour. And please don't forget, 1 week from tomorrow, Cafe Positano is the place to be because we'll be over there from 5 to 7 doing a live remote broadcast.
Wow.
And after that, we're going to have the big party down. Well, even during that, obviously, the big party is going to be going on with the Shriners going to be out there with their cars and clowns and motorcycles and things. And let's see, we got a caricature artist going to be there. You can get your caricature done. Yep. And got Dan Peterson lined up for some live entertainment, so it just keeps getting bigger and better.
So this is the 22nd, right?
22nd.
Okay.
1 week from tomorrow, the day after Father's Day. And as you relax on Father's Day, you can prepare for the big party on the day after at Cafe Positano. And they are taking reservations down there, not just for that day, but for any occasion. If you'd like to make a reservation at Cafe Positano, the number there is 407 407-774-8080. That's 407-774-8080. And, of course, please tell them you heard about it on the American Adversaries and say hey to Pasquale when you go there. But certainly we hope to see you there 1 week from tomorrow. And, by the way, if you are a member of the American Adversaries Army, we got a brand new, great new T-shirt waiting for you. So come on down there and get there early because we got some customized sizes. But if we run out of your size, we'll just have to take what we have left. But we're going to have some of each size. And so do come on down there, and we want to get you in one that, you're going to feel comfortable and proud wearing. And they are My Liberty Threads T-shirts. Nice. They're made in America. Yes, sir. So, but you still have time to become a member of the Army. You can join right up to that day. All you have to do is go to our webpage, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, and you can either do it online there or you can find out our address there and how to do it through the mail. So, or if you don't, if you can't go to the website and you want to know, just call Jeff and we'll get that information to you. Once again, our number here is 407-774-8255. And we got a lot of things to talk about. We're going to talk about, once again, a little bit more about the trade deal that is going on in Congress right now. There's a little bit of a lull over the weekend, but that's going to be the fight for the first part of the week anyway. Jeb Bush is making his official announcement tomorrow. He will be official. Hillary Clinton made, another announcement yesterday to make her official appearance, if you will, on the campaign trail. In terms of having a big rally, and so we'll be talking about that. But first, the United States, by order of the president and with concurrence of the Pentagon, has released six more Gitmo detainees, one of whom was a bodyguard of Osama bin Laden, and they've been released to Oman, quote-unquote, temporarily. And so no doubt they'll probably be back in the fight before long. But it is, you know, part of the president's efforts to close down Gitmo. And I believe he's going to try his hardest to make good on that promise. He's now released over half of the 242 that were there when he got into office, and it leaves only 116 left. And they are the worst of the worst, but they were all the worst of the worst. Mm-hmm. You know, it's when you're talking relativity, that's a very small degree of relativity amongst these characters. And at least when they're there, we know where they're at. We know they're off the battlefield.
Right.
But now they're in Oman temporarily, and they're not going to want to keep them there. Mm-hmm. You know, Oman is one of the Arab Emirates. You know, they're pretty westernized. They like tourists and nice things and gold faucets and all that stuff. You know, they don't want to hear this jihad business.
Right.
You know, their jihad is to try to resist spending too much money. But it's once again, you know, we predicted this here on the American Adversaries that this president was, you know, he was going to try. This is one thing he is going to definitely try to make good on before he leaves office, only mm-hmm. to the detriment of our fight, you know, on ISIS. And, of course, it just keeps getting worse over there mm-hmm. as he's releasing detainees. Now he's also sending more troops back into the fight in Iraq. And the Democrats don't like it. The Republicans don't know what to think about it. And the American public doesn't like it much. Mm-hmm. So, but the president dilly-dallying around just makes it all that much worse by acting like he's more interested in releasing the Gitmo detainees than he is in suppressing the violence in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. And he certainly, like he admitted this week, doesn't have much of a plan.
When did he release those six?
I believe they were let go. They flew out of the States Friday, or out of, they were due to arrive in Oman on Saturday. So they probably left on Friday, probably early. Oh, boarded a flight Friday, yeah, from the facility in Cuba.
Okay. I was just wondering, because I see you talking about that on the newspaper there, and I'm just curious, what date is that newspaper from?
This is today's.
That's today's. And it's, what, on the bottom of page A4?
Yeah, bottom of page A3, the Orlando Sentinel, underneath, you know, the article about Hillary Clinton launching her run.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they don't want to make a big deal out of it, obviously.
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah.
So
they're just hoping you gloss over that story because it's at the bottom of the page.
Which is why I'm starting with it tonight.
Exactly.
And because it is an important thing because, as I said, you know, this president's going to do everything he can to close Gitmo. The media is going along with it. And then I guarantee you, after he closes Gitmo, he's going to make an effort to turn Guantanamo Bay back over to Cuba to make nice with the Castro boys down there.
Mm-hmm.
For them doing nothing, you know, in the wake of us reopening diplomatic ties with them. And by the way, they still continue to arrest people down there for, you know, political reasons, political opponents. So, you know, President Obama wants to sign off, I'm sure, with a big thanks and a big sweet kiss to the Castro brothers by giving them back Guantanamo Bay. I'm sure he has that in the back of his mind. Congress is trying to do what they can to slow this down. The Pentagon has begun to slow down their efforts, too. But at the end of the day, if the president finds countries that will take these prisoners, he will get them out of there.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question in my mind about it. And for whatever reason, and we can debate the reasons, but he is making it harder and harder to fight the war on terror.
Mm-hmm.
He is not in any way winning the war on terror. And if there's any remarkable thing that's happened in the last couple of weeks is that more and more people are beginning to say that, besides people who are on radio talk shows like us. I'm talking about people, you know, not just the talking heads on Fox either, but generals and commanders in the military mm-hmm. are beginning to say these things. General Petraeus has come out, you know. And I wish, you know, he hadn't got himself in such a fix because he's definitely damaged his reputation and
sure.
his credibility. But nonetheless, he knows what he's talking about when mm-hmm. he's, you know, in his battlefield situations.
Right, right. On the battlefield, you can't question his, you know, opinion or his expertise.
Exactly. You know, you can question his judgment in the bedroom, but not on the battlefield, baby.
I don't know. Paula Broadwell, she wasn't that bad looking, so I don't question him too much.
Point well taken. All right, we shall take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Democratic diva. That's right. Old Hills on the campaign trail. She's swinging right now, folks. That's right.
She's out swinging. Swinging from the chandelier.
Okay, so stick around. We'll be right back after this shot break.
Hello, this is Mark Merrill, former WCW World Television Champion, Johnny B. Bad. It's a good day to be a bad man, but it's even a better day to listen to the American Adversaries. And you better listen. Don't let me come and get you, because it's going to be a blessing to teach you a lesson.
All right, and I know a few politicians I'd like to teach a lesson to, and we're going to be naming names in the second hour of the show.
Ooh.
All right, so welcome back to the show, folks. Speaking of names, I'm Christopher Hart, along with Johnny Guns. We're in the studio live tonight. You can give us a call at 407-774-8255. Jeff Sinis is on the bridge. We're in good hands live until 8 o'clock. Okay, let's see. You know, the Democratic diva, Hillary, made her appearance yesterday in front of a rally-type campaign crowd in New York there on the Roosevelt Island overlooking, you know, the river there and the Manhattan skyline, the East River and the skyline. And she evoked FDR and the champion, the fighter image of Hillary Clinton, and she recited how her mom had been an abused mother and abandoned and had fought and got up and, you know, was persevered. And it kind of reminded me of that movie a little bit, The Outlaw Josie Wales. You ever see that one, Johnny?
I've never seen that one.
Oh,
no.
My gosh. Wow.
It's a classic, I'm sure.
It is. I mean, if you like Westerns, it's a great movie. But at one point in the movie, he's talking. Jeff, you've seen The Outlaw Josie Wales, haven't you?
No, I haven't.
I can't believe you guys. One of Clint Eastwood's best movies. Of course, they're all great movies, but at one point in the movie, he's talking with his Cherokee Indian, and the Cherokee Indian was telling him about how, because he was wearing a stovepipe hat and this jacket, you know, he kind of looked kind of like some sort of Abe Lincoln Halloween costume, more or less, and he was telling Clint how he had gone to Washington with these other chieftains, and they had met with Congress and gotten their picture taken for the paper, and a congressman had told them to endeavor to persevere. And so in the next day in the paper, the newspaper headline, the headline said, Indians pledge to endeavor to persevere. so her, you know, reciting the perseverance of her poor old mama, and I don't doubt that her mother probably, you know, had. I don't know though. With Hillary Clinton, you got to take everything with a grain of salt, and you got to really wonder if what she was talking about, the troubles that her mother went through, if she actually did. Maybe she did. I don't know, but you got to take everything this woman does with a grain of salt. By the way, folks, when you're watching the video, and I'm sure if you're watching any of the news, they're still playing them, or just watch any time she does a campaign rally, you'll see something that she does that this is a it's a body language technique. And believe you me, they are leaving nothing to chance. That is one thing about this campaign that we already see is happening. Their strategy is to leave nothing to chance. That's why no interviews, no press conferences, because then you're starting to leave things to chance, you see? All right. And one of the things she does when she comes out of, you know, and comes onto the stage, and you got people all there cheering and clapping and holding the signs and stuff, she comes out and she's waving her hands like she's the champion and everything. And then she starts to point to people and waving into the crowd, pointing to people and gesturing toward people in the crowd. She has no idea who she's pointing at.
Oh, no.
You know, the whole idea is to convey to people that she knows somebody in the crowd there, right? And even the person she points at, you know, he's looking around like, who's she pointing at, right?
Is it me?
Yeah, right. You know, and it's just, it's so phony, so fake, so right out of the WWE playbook.
Yeah.
Right down to her claiming to be the fighting champion. She's going to fight for us.
Mm-hmm.
Fight and the champion are words that she keeps repeating over and over and over again. And to be honest with you, it's a pretty good strategy. She understands that politics is a lot like professional wrestling. You see, we're not saying this just to make fun of politics. What we're saying is the same things that make professional wrestling a popular form of entertainment work in politics. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
So to sell herself as a champion of the people is a very effective way to overcome all of the baggage that she's got, you see?
Mm-hmm.
She's the champion. What do you expect the champion have to do? Fight off all the comers.
Yep.
And they're going to be fighting dirty. Why? She's the champion, you see? And now, you know, it's up to the American public whether they buy into this. But for her, it's the best strategy. And I guarantee you, it's got Bill Clinton's fingerprints all over it.
Mm-hmm.
This is Bill Clinton's campaign. She's just acting it out.
Yeah.
All right? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, it's she's trying to win the public opinion. You know, everybody wants to be on the side of the champion, and she can come off as the champion and win that public perception. She's halfway to the White House. She's more than halfway to the White House.
More than half the way. Because like Sonny said a week or two ago, she's got total name recognition.
Yep.
So if she sells herself off as a champion to 47-48% of the population, she is well on her way. And, you know, the Republicans, you know, they sit back and they call her a hypocrite and this and that. They're going to have to find a more novel approach to undermining her. And you find it in the annals of professional wrestling. You're going to have to find a way to show her not to be so much the champion, but the villain, if you will. And it's going to take more than the joking about her age. That's not going to do it. There is the same phenomena occurring here, although I think to a lesser degree than occurred with Barack Obama. And it's what I call the affirmative action mentality. In other words, she's a woman.
Mm-hmm.
This is a historic event. I want to be one of the ones who elects the first woman to be a president. And she also does this, and this is the same technique that Barack Obama used, and that is that, you know, you brought our country back. Now it's time, your time. Remember that Barack Obama saying, it's your time, you are the ones we've been waiting for?
Right.
You see, she's incorporating them into her struggle, you see.
Mm-hmm.
This is it's an ingenious strategy. It really is, considering the baggage that this woman, she should be nowhere near the campaign trail.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's absolutely absurd and ridiculous that this woman, with all this baggage, with her incompetency, with her allowing four people that were her people to take care of, she was in charge of their security.
Mm-hmm.
No one ultimately else but her. And they are now dead. And she said, what difference does it make? She should be nowhere near the campaign trail. But because they so very well understand the Clintons, how politics functions, how it does function like professional wrestling, and that the facts and all that can go right out the window if you put on a good show.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're trying to do, put on a good show.
It's like it doesn't matter what your in-ring work is like. As long as you have A, the look, and B, the mic skills, you've got a real good chance of being big in the WWE and in professional wrestling. Same thing with politics.
And here's what the Republicans have to be careful of. Every attack that they make on her, she's going to try to twist it into, this is what champions have to put up with,
mm-hmm.
right? It's the old right-wing cabal stuff from way on back. She said she was talking about how she's used to Republican attacks. She's been going through them for years. She's been a long-time target. You see? So the Republicans are going to have to take a little bit more novel of approach here. That doesn't mean that they can't go after her. It just means they're going to have to do it in a way that is let's just say, in the same ring with her. Not trying to be, you know, the intellectual Republican types. They're going to have to get down. They're going to have to get dirty. It's going to be sloppy. It's going to have to be, you know, it's going to have to be professional wrestling. Because that's the level that people are working on in this mm-hmm. country. And it has been, and it always will be. Because politics and professional wrestling evoke emotions, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's all about, evoking those strong emotional feelings. If she connects, if she's the champion, I don't care what she's done. I don't care how blue in the face you tell people about it. They will not care. They will only see that as confirmation. Confirmation of her status as the champion, the fighter for the little people.
Mm-hmm.
You see? It's ingenious. That's why I say it's got Bill Clinton written all over this, because this woman is not nearly this smart to devise this strategy. This is Bill Clinton's campaign being acted out by Hillary Clinton. Just remember, you heard it here first, because eventually the El Rushbo and the other guys are going to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
This is Bill Clinton's campaign being acted out by Hillary Clinton. And I guarantee you, he has got this thing mapped out right up to election night. And the champion's winning speech.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you, he's got it written already.
Right.
They are leaving nothing to chance. The Republicans are going to have to come up with a much more novel than the standard dirty politics approach here.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to have to be, and I'm working on it. Okay, I'm going to try to help you out on it. But tonight we're going to talk mostly about diagnosing the problem, diagnosing their strategy, seeing where they're coming from, and understanding that it's going to be the only strategy, but in many ways the best strategy for her to win. And I tell you what, if the Republican, especially these men, play it the same old way, she's going to parlay that into an address at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Mm-hmm. And it's going to make Barack Obama a very, very sad boy.
I'm going to be interested to see what the new poll numbers come out to be next week, because I just read online that last week, people who were, you know, common average Americans, about 53% of them thought that Hillary identified with them, that she was in their corner. And now this week it's down to 47%. So right. Now after this rally or speech that she just gave in New York, I wonder how that's going to affect those numbers next week.
I don't know, but this is the only strategy they can take to win.
Right.
Because they can't win it really on a toe-to-toe policy debate. They obviously can't win it on her foreign policy record, which is she hardly mentioned it yesterday.
Right.
Her whole point of being Secretary of State was so that she could have that gravitas. Well, that went out with Benghazi.
Right.
But this is their strategy. It's Bill Clinton's strategy. She's acting it out. And that is that she is going to be the champion, and all the barbs are just going to be confirmation of that. So don't go away. We got more to talk about with this. Don't forget, Carl Jackson is coming up here shortly, and we'll take your calls at any time. We'll be right back.
More political mayhem is on the way. You're listening to The American Adversaries on 660 WORL. If you can take it.
Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you've got the American Adversaries well into our three-hour Sunday evening tour now. Christopher Hart, Johnny Guns in the studio with you. Jeff sent us on the bridge, and thank you for being in the audience. If you'd like to be a part of the show, the number once again is 407-774-8255, and do keep that phone close by for the Who Said That contest, which will be in the next hour of the show. Carl Jackson will be up later on in this half hour of the show. But, you know, when I opened the show, I said, you know, we're feeling pretty good because we're in here where it's nice and cool because it is AC. Blistering
Ooh.
Out there. Golly.
Yes.
And this is the kind of weather, folks, where if you're out there any length of time doing yard work or outdoor recreation, you can sure enough get a sunburn. And if you get that burn, know what you need for it.
A Roxy Pacifics.
That's right. I was out today, matter of fact, pulling some weeds, and I don't know, I got bit by an ant or something. I don't know what it was on my shoulder, and I thought, well, I'll be a man. I'll just sit here and finish pulling these weeds. And then finally, I got so aggravated with it, I went inside, kind of washed it off a little bit, dried it off, put some Roxy on it. Forgot all about it. I tell you, this stuff really works for sunburn, bug bites, rashes, you name it. It's a natural, all natural kelp solution, antibacterial, anti-inflammatory, good for whatever ails your skin, safe to use no matter where you can spray it. That's safe. That's a safe place to use it.
Yep.
And that includes on your spouse, your children, and your parents.
Your pets.
And your pets. And this stuff is loaded with good stuff like a lot of B vitamins, omega-3, magnesium, some E vitamin, niacin, iodine, boron. You can find out all about it at skinfix.us. If you want the stuff that'll fix your skin, you'll go to skinfix.us and get a couple of sizes. By the way, they're running specials all the time. The Roxys are great people. They just want to bring you relief more than anything else. And they're constantly giving sample bottles to our listeners and helping out. Like they want to help out the Shriner Hospitals. These folks are just great folks, and it's great stuff. It's no wonder. And you can call them if you like, 619-654-4829, or go to skinfix.us, and you'll find out all about it. And it is great stuff. And you need a bottle you can carry with you, the little 1 ounce bottles. I carry it in my car. You know it. And, of course, the bigger bottle I keep at home. Mm-hmm. And every day I put that stuff. It's just good to you. Even if you don't have, you know, some ailment or affliction, mm-hmm. it's good just to use on your face and those parts of your bodies, especially that are exposed to the sun, just to keep them healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a preventative, if you will. And it really does make your skin healthy because it is the right, I like to call it, Miracle-Gro for your skin is the right chemical combination to not just cover up the symptoms, but to help your skin grow out of the symptoms by growing new healthy tissue. Mm-hmm. All right, so go to skinfix.us to get your hands on some of that stuff. And Hillary Clinton, she's out swinging. She might need some Roxy Pacifics. Maybe we can get a bottle in her hands. I don't know. But when she's swinging through the early primary states. She left New York. She's already, I believe, in Iowa today. She finally spoke somewhat about the trade deal and said that the president should work closely now with Nancy Pelosi to get, quote unquote, a better deal, when we've been told by all the people who are telling us why, you know, we should give him this trade authority is that there actually is no deal right now. So I don't know how you can get a better deal when there is no deal.
Yeah.
But of course, there is a deal. I mean, there is a deal in the works.
Working, yeah.
Yeah. So that, you know, unfortunately, that makes when it comes to this test between Nancy Pelosi and Ryan, Pelosi's the one telling the truth. I hate to say it, because Ryan's been going around saying there is no deal. We can't say anything about a deal. There's no deal. There's no deal. They've been working on it 7 years, but there is no deal. Yeah, but there is definitely a framework of a deal. Mm-hmm. There's an outline. There's a deal enough that they're keeping it in the basement of the Capitol building where you can go look at it. There's something down there, Mr. Paul Ryan. Mm-hmm. It's a sad day when Paul Ryan is lying through his teeth and Nancy Pelosi is telling us the truth about an issue. For God's sakes, where are we going here? Now, that's for the next hour. Let me get back to Hillary Clinton for a minute. her audience yesterday was remarkably white and fairly small.
Now, really?
Yeah. Now, it was in on Rockefeller Island. I'm not familiar with New York. But that's probably, you know, considering where she has her campaign headquarters. I mean, it ain't in Harlem, you know, it ain't on the wrong side of the tracks. But, you know, when she was giving her speech, I mean, you would have thought that she would have had some more props behind her, as she normally does. Maybe they just couldn't get him there on time. But her campaign strategy, like I say, is it's remarkable in the sense that it's going to be all about Hillary while at the same time being in no way about Hillary. How can I say that? How can I sit here and say that it's at one time going to be all about Hillary and at the same time not at all about Hillary? Well, she just gave us a taste of it yesterday. It's not at all going to be about anything that she's done really in office, in particular the State Department. We're not going to hear anything about the emails. She's not going to address any of this stuff. Not going to do it. Ain't going to happen. But it is going to be all about how she is the champion of the people, the fighter for the people.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, you know, she is branding herself, rebranding herself, if you will. And this is something that the Republicans have not been so great about. They allow the Democrats to brand them. Just take McCain and Romney, for instance.
Right.
They were branded by Barack Obama, and with a hot, big old hot iron brand, he put it right on them, baby.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, she ain't going to let that happen. And she has taken a brand that all the barbs that we are going to be throwing at her are only going to reinforce that brand of her being the champion.
Right.
She's the one who has to take those barbs, you see, mm-hmm. so that the poor little old guy, that he or she don't have to take them, that Hillary's going to be there fighting for them, and she's going to be one suffering, you see. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful when you think about it.
Yeah.
You know, every barb that she takes is going to be her suffering, her being the suffering fighting champion.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I say the Republicans are going to have to be smart about this. And Rubio has shown signs of it, but Rubio has that appeal of his own. He can make that emotional connection.
Sure.
But he's going to have to go further than just making the emotional connection. He's going to have to take it further than that, because in this branding, she's telling us in a very succinct fashion why she should be president, so that she can be the fighter, the champion of the little guy, just like FDR was, just like her husband was, just like Barack Obama was.
Mm-hmm.
So she's trying to tie herself to three most successful Democratic presidents in modern day history.
Right.
All right. You can say, when I say successful, I mean in terms of getting elected. I don't obviously mean in terms of turning, you know, making the United States a great country. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about politically speaking, which is what the campaign is all about.
Mm-hmm. It's just about getting you elected.
That's it. You see, the Republicans are kind of lost when it comes to this business. They need to sit down and watch the WWE. That needs to be part of their training session.
Hey, isn't there a pay-per-view on tonight? Maybe they can watch that.
I tell you what, they should take some of them campaign funds and invest it. That's right.
It's only $9.99 a month for the WWE Network.
And see how they do it. And see how they do it, how they twist the plot, mm-hmm. because that's what we're going to need here to undermine what she's doing. We're going to need to twist that plot on her, to figure out a way to use that brand against her.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. In the meantime, they're playing, as I said, you know, that you'll just have to wait and see when Hillary gets around to telling you something. It's not going to be at your time. It's going to be in her time mm-hmm. when she reveals her positions.
Right.
And, Paul Ryan gave us a little taste of that, of our own medicine today. On Fox this morning, he said, you know, there are jitters in Washington, D.C. that the Supreme Court is actually going to strip the benefits, not the benefits, what my vocabulary is slipping me right now, but the payments that you get for being on Obamacare, that if they take away that language, that there is obviously going to have to be something done about it. And basically Paul Ryan said, you'll just have to wait and see, because we'll have to wait and see what the decision says. And before we can devise a plan, that's reactionary politics. In other words, you know, going to wait and see if the Supreme Court takes away the benefits that you get for being on Obamacare. I don't know why I can't think of the word right now. But anyway, the credits, if you will, if they take those away, then we'll figure out a plan, is basically what he's saying. And so this is reactionary politics in this day and age is a loser, you know, which is why Paul Ryan is a loser. And he's proving that. Now, is he in some way maybe trying to be clever here and blame this trade debacle on the Democrats? No. He actually thinks that Barack Obama would negotiate a good trade deal. That's a loser right there. I'm sorry. Ain't my fault, though. All right, Carl Jackson's on the line. Stay with us. When we come back, we'll have Carl's Corner. Don't forget, you are listening to the American Adversaries, and we are here now 5 to 7 Monday through Friday, as well as 5 to 8 on Sundays. And we appreciate you listening.
Folks, this is pro wrestler and WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and I listen to the American Adversaries. Tough guy.
That's right. Welcome back to the American Adversaries, ladies and gentlemen. And just like Chris Pratt kicks dino butt in the movie world, this guy kicks liberal butt in the real world. I'm talking about our good friend Carl Jackson.
All right, well, what's up, guys? It's good to hear from you guys tonight. You got a great show going on so far, and I think you guys are absolutely right as far as Hillary framing this thing. I don't understand how she could do it with such a horrible record, but it just goes to show how unskilled we are as conservatives in this arena. However, I do think there's one person that has gotten it down, and then I'll go on to what I really wanted to talk about here, but Rick Santorum, surprisingly, has come out and said he's going to make sure he brands himself before the left brands him. And he's been doing that, calling himself basically the champion of the middle class and going after that title. So it's pretty interesting. But some of these guys are learning. But you're right. I think you're right on time with that, Chris. Hillary knows the game, and so does Bill. And so they're going to figure out how to keep succeeding, especially when they got tons of money and backers behind them. But anyways, the reason why I called in is to speak about Hillary Clinton and George Soros teaming together or teaming up together in order to fight voter ID law. So what I'm working on actually is an article that I have not completely edited as of yet, but I want to give you guys a taste of it because I want to illustrate how preposterous it is to say that we shouldn't have voter ID laws or identification when we walk into a voting booth. It's absolutely ridiculous. So the title of the article is Super Elitist Hillary and Soros to Save the Day from Evil Voter ID Laws. The Cape Progressives, Hillary Clinton and George Soros are
at it. That's a catchy little title there, Carl.
Thank you.
Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right. The Cape Progressives, Hillary Clinton and George Soros are at it again. What's their mission? To swoop in and rescue blacks, young voters, and the impoverished from evil Republicans. Who will stop at nothing to ensure that every American is armed with an identification card? Just as kryptonite weakens Superman, so do voter ID requirements weaken the Democrat Party by giving voters equal footing to succeed in a democratic republic. If Clinton and Soros fail in their mission, the nation is likely to be overrun with high employment, legal immigration, and free and fair elections. This social injustice can't go on. Hillary Clinton and George Soros are just the super elitists needed to make sure the GOP are stopped in their tracks. After all, who does the GOP think they are, demanding all voters to come to the same standards as their rich, white, liberal counterparts? Why should minorities be subjected to the same expectations? Why shouldn't success remain aloof for just a novel idea in lower-income communities? According to Newsmax.com, if George Soros and Hillary Clinton are to be successful in their endeavor, voter ID requirements, time restrictions on early voting that make it difficult to cast ballots on the weekend before Election Day, and rules nullifying ballots that are cast in wrong precincts must be stopped. Why? Imagine a world where any old citizen can walk into a bank and open up a checking or savings account. We can't have that. A world where an illegal alien or a destitute vagabond could be instantaneously identified by the local police? What if Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck lost their voting privileges in key voter districts, for God's sake? We can't have that. These types of discriminatory practices by the GOP are intolerable. The Republicans' attempt to impose fair and equitable voting requirements must be thwarted. If Hillary and Soros are defeated, if the GOP are left to their evil devices, minorities could suffer from acute feelings of empowerment, responsibility, and even patriotism. Who will save these unsuspecting victims from the unyielding evil of the Republican Party? Who will prevent these atrocities meant to give Republicans the political edge on Election Day? These were the questions asked by the left-wing media. Super elitist Soros decried, "We hope to see these unfair laws, which often disproportionately affect the most vulnerable in our society, repealed." Then the Hungarian-born immigrant whipped his red cape over his left shoulder and revealed his ID card to the guard on duty in order to re-enter the fortified compound where the super elitist heroes strategized on how to keep the underprivileged happily subservient. Good thing, too. The heartless GOP appear more focused than ever before on victimizing voters by making it easier to vote and harder to cheat in states like Ohio, Wisconsin, Georgia, Nevada, Virginia, and North Carolina. So, folks, if this column seemed preposterous, that's because it is. We all realize that identification lessens fraud in our society, and that's a reason why it's very important. We also understand that IDs help us to complete business transactions in our society. It helps us to cash checks and get paid. In a sense, it's part of the oil in a civil society. And I can understand why some people would argue we don't need IDs for everyone. I wouldn't disagree. But if there's state ID requirements, it's a good thing because it helps the flow of society work better. ID is simply a cost, a small cost to pay in a free market society. And it makes it impossible, virtually, for both sides to cheat on Election Day. So why wouldn't anyone want ID unless there was a goal, and I would say an evil goal, if you will, to keep people down? And that's been my rendition this week of Carl's Corner.
Yeah, Carl, you know, a couple of things. First of all, yeah, once again, this is the branding of they're the champions of the little guy.
Yes.
You know, and of course, the irony is that they're anything but, you know, it's this is a deal with the devil people make with these people. But they, you know, they brand it and the people just eat it up. So
yeah, Chris, it's so amazing. I go around and I try to read more liberal articles as of late. and just to kind of pick their brains and see what they're thinking. And I really believe if people, you can just tell, let me put it this way, you can tell that people don't read. You can tell that leftists don't read, unfortunately, or we don't have enough readers in America anymore. Because if you would read some of these articles, or if leftists would read some of these articles, you would just see how preposterous and ridiculous they are, and how demeaning many of them are, because there really is a sense of elitism. There's a sense of, it's almost like grown men and women, if they're on the left, leftists feel like they need to be catered to, they need to be treated like children. It's very demeaning, in my opinion, and it's sad that so many people fall for this nonsense. As far as I know, and I haven't seen the latest study, but I believe it was over 70% of blacks that disagreed with Democrats as far as voter ID laws. I think it was somewhere between 71 and 73%.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The nation overwhelmingly supports these voter ID laws.
And only makes sense.
Yeah, because everyone wants to know that their vote is, you know, secure.
Exactly.
And it doesn't matter which side of the aisle you're on. And it doesn't matter if there's fraud going on or not. You just want to feel secure that it is not going on. And the only way to do that is to feel secure that you are the only one that can vote your name. Yeah. And that other people aren't getting two votes. It's everybody, you know, wants that, you know. And this is where perhaps the Republicans can find the soft underbelly, if you will, no pun intended here, of Hillary Clinton. And, and that is that she's you know, arguing to be the champion of the people on one hand, but on the other hand, she's doing things that undermine that.
Right.
So if the Republicans can figure out a way to make that case and make it in a believable fashion, they could undermine her branding. But go ahead.
No, you're absolutely right. And one of the things that I'm coming to the realization of, you know, sometimes I'll write articles and they're hit and miss. And, you know, I can spend hours researching and then writing an article. And then I'm like, man, I can't believe this thing didn't get the attention that I thought it would. I thought it was well researched on, et cetera. And then you find these articles that are very low-hanging fruit, and the media eats them up, the readers eat them up. But, you know, it's something that I had to learn. You have to put out, you have to speak to the people's hearts and their minds and whatever's going on in the culture of the day. And I think Republicans have to be quick to hit low-hanging fruit. They have to be quick to be able to reframe low-hanging fruit. Honestly, that's what Hillary does. That's what the left does. You think of the most simplest of issues, if you will, and they attack those issues because those are issues that are typically common to the common man. So when you start speaking over people, they just don't hear you.
Right.
And it's a sad reality,
right.
But it's a fact. And
yeah, but
Republicans have to learn to speak to the people.
And I think the technique that you did in that article is quite brilliant because, for one, you kind of accepted their caricatures of themselves, if you will, the cape and all that stuff, you know, coming to the, you know, swooping into the rescue and all that. You're accepting their branding. And then you're poking fun and saying that, look what their champion really does, though, right?
Right, exactly right. That was the goal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I hope some Republicans get their hands on something, because that is, I believe, the approach to take with Hillary Clinton, is to accept her branding and then use it against her. Which is what you just did, and it's a brilliant technique, and it just kind of seems to be above and beyond most Republicans.
Well, hopefully this year they'll get it right, because Lord knows this is the year they have to get it right for the sake of saving America. So hopefully they'll listen to the American adversaries and kids.
Well, you know, having said that, you know, I don't want to take any credit, but it's obvious. You mentioned Santorum. I mean, it's obvious that they understand a little bit better than they did last time what's going on here. You see, and I'm using professional wrestling as a technique to describe the emotional forces that are at play here, because that's the level Hillary is working on. It's an emotional level. If she captures people on that level, the intellectual stuff won't matter, not one bit.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. They got to hit the low-hanging fruit.
That's right.
They have to do it.
That's right. And that's why they fear Marco Rubio, because he naturally does that. He does it without trying. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He's a natural at that, like Reagan was a natural at it. But I believe Reagan kind of was a natural, but he kind of learned it, too, through his experiences as an actor and things like that. Marco Rubio is just naturally appealing to a lot of people on an emotional level.
And you're absolutely right, and I think they actually, I'll be honest with you, I almost feel like Hillary had to come out again as a result of them trying to tear down Marco Rubio.
Well,
when they posted pictures of his boat, honestly, all it showed was, okay, this guy is relatively normal.
Yeah.
They showed him pictures of him playing flag football and all this kind of stuff started getting out, and what the left tried to do to him totally backfired.
Yeah, yeah, but they can do the same thing with other candidates, and it won't backfire.
Yeah, very
because,
true.
You know, he is living the American dream, and it's going to be hard to trash that. Great work, Carl. That's great work. By the way, you're speaking Tuesday night?
Yes, sir, Eastmont Civic Center. I believe the doors open at 6, if I'm not mistaken.
I think it's 6:30. 6:30
okay.
Event starts
right.
at 7, and you'll be speaking about?
I'll be speaking about the best way to help blacks is to defeat liberalism.
Okay.
I'll break it down in two parts.
All right. Carl will be speaking and along with Wallace Brushweiler, who will have a preview of his presentation tomorrow on our show. But Carl, Carl and thanks a lot, Carl. Great work.
All right. Thank you. God bless you guys.
Okay. Carl and Wallace speaking Tuesday night, Eastmont Civic Center, just south of 436 off Ronald Reagan there. Doors open at 6:30. It's free. Make sure you get over there and catch them. We'll be right back.
A call rang out across the land.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversaries.
We're still feeling pretty good because we're still in the AC. It's still blistering hot outside, too, folks. So please, if you're outside, take it easy. If you're inside, take it easy and listen to the American Adversaries no matter where you are. We'll be live until 8 o'clock right here on AM 660 The Answer as we come to you from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Please don't forget, for the very best in Mercury Free dental care, call my dentist at 407-678-3399. His name is James Hardy, and ask him about his book, Mercury Free. Great book. Also, we are live, and we'll, as I said, we'll be here till 8 o'clock. Don't forget, Armed American Radio will take over at that time, and they'll take you live until 11 o'clock, and they got a lot to talk about, a lot of great guests on the week there, every week there as well. Okay, and then don't forget, later on in this hour of the show, we're going to be doing our Who Said That contest, so keep that telephone close by. And then in the next hour, Sunny's going to join us, and she's now back in California. Our
Woo-hoo!
California glow girl is back in California. And we'll be talking about the new minimum wage that she found in L.A. when she got back there. You know, there's a new $15 minimum wage, Johnny.
$15?
I'm telling you, I'm moving to L.A.
Heck yeah.
Of course, now it's going to cost a lot more to live in L.A. so that they can pay for that minimum wage, right?
Right, let's not talk about that.
No. We don't want to talk about that. But anyway, we will be talking about that. With Sonny later on in the show, and I might even talk a little bit about Dusty Rhodes again. You know,
yes.
I was real sad to hear that.
The American Dream.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it when Jeff called me in there to show me that the other day. You know, when it came up on the news wire. Yeah, the Cosmic Cowboy, the American Dream. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that'll be later on in the show. 407-774-8255 is our number, and this hour I want to turn the conversation to this trade deal because it's still going hot and heavy there in Washington, D.C. Paul Ryan was on the shows this morning. Pardon me. This morning, once again, exhorting the Democrats to do the right thing, to give their president this trade authority. Now, I will say this. This trade authority, the fast-track authority, would extend into the next administration. But I can't see, you know, maybe there's something going on here that I don't know. It would have to be entirely something new. But it seems to me that if what they really want is to have the next president to have this authority, wait until then. I mean, if the next president is Hillary Clinton, do you want Hillary Clinton having this authority too, Mr. Ryan? I mean, come on. And he is going around lamenting the fact that Democrats are making Barack Obama a lame duck president. Let me say this again. GOP, former vice presidential candidate, along with Mitt Romney, the ticket with Mitt Romney, Mr. Congressman Paul Ryan from Wisconsin, sits on the Ways and Means Committee, the most powerful committee in the House, is lamenting the fact that the president's own party is turning him into a lame duck president. This is the same president that he has so roundly and soundly criticized for his incompetency, his bad policies, and I dare say his stupidity, even though Ryan never used those words. He's too polite to do so. I will. He's lamenting the fact that his party is turning this guy into a lame duck president. I'm sorry, isn't that what we want? Isn't that what we want here?
Yeah.
Don't you think that we want this president more than any other, perhaps, to be a lame duck, which lame duck means he's there all for show, basically. He can't get much done. Hasn't he done enough already? Mr. Ryan, you want him to do some more? And then when it comes time to cleaning up his mess, like the Affordable Care Act, which you keep assuring us, you're going to clean it up. You're going to have a plan as soon as you know what the Supreme Court says about it. Then you'll make up your plan. Oh, come on. We expect better than you to be a Democrat. We expect better than that, Mr. Ryan. And I don't think this is some sort of skillful political move to sort of, you know, make the president look bad with his party. No. You should be making the president look bad with his party. You're not doing that. You're putting the pressure on Congress to do the president's bidding. No, we do want this president to be a lame duck president. We do not want him to have fast-track trade authority. And yes, it is ironic. He's mystified. It's ironic that, you know, they got, as he said, they got the heavy lifting done. You know, there's two votes that they took on this. One had to do with what they call the Trade Promotion Authority, and that narrowly passed. 20, I don't have the results with me right now, but it was like 210 to 202, something like that. Narrowly passed, but it passed. That is the fast-track authority. But the problem for them is, in order for the Democrats traditionally to go along with free trade agreements, they had to tack on what they call the Trade Adjustment Authority. And the Trade Adjustment Authority basically is a bribe. It's a bribe to buy off the unions. Because the unions, and everybody knows, they're going to lose jobs. And so in order to, you know, for the unions to support this, they had to give them a bunch of money to pay for the people who were going to lose their jobs. The free trade that's going to create jobs, yeah, it's going to disrupt. They call it disruption, disrupting people. Yeah, they disrupt you out of a nice factory job and put you in a job down the street at the Taco Bell. That's what they mean by disruption. Because all those people who worked in the Ford factories and all those factories and the textile factories in the Carolinas and stuff, all those places that closed down, guess what? There weren't other factories that they could go work in. No, uh-uh. They could go work in the restaurants. They could take minimum wage jobs. And then, of course, that's great for the Democrats because now they can put more pressure on raising the minimum wage. And so the Trade Adjustment Authority, the bribe part of this whole thing, and it is a bribe, buying with hundreds of millions of dollars. They call it job retraining programs. Come on. There's Paul Ryan pushing job training programs. What an idiot. Or let me just put it this way. What kind of idiots does he think that we are? What kind of idiots does he think that we are? That this job training program is any better than any of the other job training programs we have spent hundreds of billions of dollars down the toilet on? If you don't have jobs, a job training program ain't going to do you a damn bit of good. You got to have good jobs. And guess what? You know where you can get the best training? Johnny, where'd you get your best training for your job?
Where did I get my best training for my job? Honestly, on the job.
On the job. Right. And you went to school for it too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you get your best training on the job. But if there aren't good jobs, I don't care how much training you got. Ain't going to do you a bit of good. Not a bit. No. So this is, once again, why we say politics like professional wrestling. You know, one day, maybe not so long ago even, Paul Ryan was one of our champions. Now, at least in my opinion, he's a villain. And I'm not the only one who thinks so. Let me just tell you here in Central Florida how the votes went. John Micah voted for the trade authority and the trade adjustment. So John Micah is along with Paul Ryan and wants to give this president, this kind of authority. This is worse than Obamacare in terms of the consequences that it will have on our lives. Two, the people who voted against the president and against Paul Ryan on this, Dan Webster, Bill Posey, who's a congressman over there on the East Coast, and Alan Grayson.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and Alan Grayson, we knew this because he had written an op-ed in the Orlando Sentinel coming down on this. So look at Nancy Pelosi, by the way, voted against this. But I think in her case, and we shall see, because this, as I said, this fight, and as Paul Ryan said, this fight is not over yet. Even though the Trade Adjustment Authority went down 306 to 102, I believe was the numbers on that, it could still turn around. Because once again, this is the bribery portion of the bill. And so maybe all they need to do is sweeten the bribe, right? That's what Nancy Pelosi means by a better deal.
I see.
Sweeten the bribe to pay off the unions who are going to lose jobs. There will be displacements. There's no question about that. The only question is, where will the displaced jobs go? Well, if we look at past agreements, we see that prior to NAFTA, we had a huge and thriving textile industry, and they made carpet and even clothes, heaven forbid, in the Carolinas. Gone. They're gone. Those jobs are gone. That's why it was such a big deal for them to try to get Boeing to come to South Carolina. They need something to replace the jobs that left.
Out of the textile industry.
Out of the textile industry, that's right. And, of course, you have the steel jobs that are gone. Here's something to think about when it comes to these free trade agreements. Because most economists, as we hear the people on the news tell us, you know, economists overwhelmingly agree that free trade is good. Well, yes, free trade is good. The only problem is these free trade deals are usually anything but
free.
Anything but free trade.
Right.
So, you know, it always is going to favor the little guy. And of course, us being the big guy, that means we're not the ones favored by these deals. The jobs are going from us to them. That's the trade going on here. And it ain't free for us. Not at all. It's costing us the middle class, disappearing before our very eyes. It will not be long in this country. We get this free trade deal and the one with Europe and South America. There will be no middle class in the United States anymore. It'll be like third world countries where you have the very wealthy and the very poor,
very poor.
And hardly anybody else.
Yep.
If there is a middle class, it will be minute. They will be the vast minority.
And how will America survive without a middle class?
Well, not like we have been.
Nope.
No.
Not at all.
Nope. All right. Anyway, stick around. We're going to talk a little bit more about this. And then later on, once again, we have the Who Said That contest. And we're going to get warm everybody up for Jeb. We got to get ready for Jeb. You know, we have Hillary this weekend, Jeb tomorrow.
Oh, that's right.
The only person that doesn't, well, we'll bring it up after the break. But anyways, please stay with us. You are listening to the American Adversaries on AM 660, The Answer.
Hi, everyone. This is Sunny, the California girl from Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. We're all champions in the ring, including all the hottest guys on American Adversaries. Love ya.
Love you too, Sunny. And we're going to be talking to her in about 45 minutes. Our California Sunny girl back in California now.
Back in Cali.
Can't wait to check up with her. And then what? Maybe in just a little bit, maybe about 15 minutes, we're going to do a Who Said That contest.
Yep, the traditional Who Said That
the
contest.
Traditional. We're not no gussying twist. It up or twisting it up or anything.
Nope.
So make sure you have that phone handy and ready to call in to win a great Cafe Positano gift card. That's coming up in about 15 minutes. But you were teasing us a little bit about old Jeb right before the break there, Chris.
Yeah, I want to get to him in here in just a couple of minutes. Just sort of wrap up the conversation about this trade deal. By the way,
right.
Johnny got the numbers on the Trade Promotion Authority, which is actually the Fast Track Authority. In the House, it was...
It was 219 to 211.
So 219 to 211. So that's a close vote.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other vote was overwhelming, 306 to 102, I think it was.
Yeah.
And but as I said, that could turn over the weekend. The president, after making his pitch on Capitol Hill Friday, went golfing yesterday. So what else is new, right? to hear Paul Ryan lamenting the fact that this is something that I predicted that would happen and that we should be, glad when it does happen. And that is that when the president's own party begins to turn on him. And here's Paul Ryan trying to talk him out of it. Come on. Where are we going here, Mr. Ryan? Okay, golly gee. As I said here, the problem with this trade deal, this deal in particular is really detrimental to our sovereignty. We sometimes talk about Agenda 21 and the UN, and the reason that we are concerned about such things is because we understand that they are an assault on our sovereignty. Of our nation, our sovereignty being basically us being able to do what we want within our borders, and the rest of you leave us alone. And the attack on the sovereignty that's coming from the UN is nothing like the attack on our sovereignty that would result from these free trade deals. I talked a little bit about this on the show Friday. These deals are like the way FIFA is organized. FIFA, of course, being the Federation of International Football Association. This, that's been in the news recently.
It's FIFA.
Okay,
FIFA. They pronounce it FIFA.
Okay,
yeah.
FIFA, like Fifi, right?
Yeah.
Fifi. Yeah, FIFA. Anyway, FIFA is wrought with corruption. And it's because, basically, they've set up the system to the breed corruption.
Sure.
What they have done is they've given each nation an equal say. All right? No matter how big or how small they are, they have an equal say. So... what this means is the Federation people can go to one of the small nations and seek bribes and get the other nations to go along with it,
mm-hmm.
and supersede what the bigger nations know to be the better policy. So what will happen is if this trade deal that Paul Ryan says does not exist, but that is written down on paper in the basement of the Capitol building where only the members of Congress can go see it. It doesn't exist, but they can go see it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't exist, but they can go down there and see it. That it would do the same thing. It would make us an equal partner with all of these other players, which means the other players could team up on us. And it wouldn't take all of them. It would just take a majority of them. And they could team up on the rest of the members. And you might say, well, that's the Democratic thing to do. No, that's not a smart thing to do. That's why we have a representative form of government. If your state has a larger population, guess what? You get more representatives, right?
Right.
It should be the same way with these trade agreements. In order to protect our sovereignty,
mm-hmm.
all right? Along with our sovereignty goes our Constitution. If we give up our sovereignty, we give up our Constitution. And one of the things that really gives me the cold chills is when the president says, oh, we have labor and environmental protections in the deal, the one that Paul Ryan tells us doesn't exist.
Yeah, the one in the basement of the Capitol building.
That doesn't exist, you know, like Area 51. this is what we're getting from Paul Ryan. I'm so disappointed. The reason I'm really coming down on him hard, folks, is because I'm so disappointed in him. He's smarter than this. But because he's so desperate to do the establishment's bidding and get this deal, he's willing to leave it in this president's hands. I'm sorry. I'm not. Neither was Dan Webster. Neither was Bill Posey. Neither was Alan Grayson. Mike Huckabee was the only one of the Republican candidates that I heard come out adamantly against this. And Mike Lee, of course, who is still the senator in the Senate, he's adamantly against it. Jim DeMint, former senator, is against it for sometimes differing reasons, but it all gets down to one basic reason. We do not trust this president with this authority. Ooh. And I would not trust Hillary Clinton with it either.
Mm-mm.
No way.
Nope.
So the thing is, we shall see where this goes. But if we want to give up our sovereignty, we will enter into these agreements. And it's not just the one on the Pacific side. It's also the one on the Eurozone. They basically want us to join the Eurozone, is what the Eurozone treaty would be all about. Do you want to join the Eurozone, Johnny?
Not me. No, thanks.
No.
I don't even want to join FIFA.
Maybe Fifi, but not FIFA. That is a fact. So if you are so inclined to call your congressman, if he is John Micah, you might want to have him reconsider on the Trade Adjustment Authority, because it will come, I believe, to another vote. I do believe the Republicans will do this. To some extent, this is, sort of rubbing it in the Democrats' face, but they could do it far more effectively than trying to get the Democrats to actually give the president this authority. Let's let the Democrats make this president a lame duck, and why don't we help him? Why don't we help them, Mr. Ryan? Make him a lame duck president. It seems to me that would be the smarter thing to do, given what this president has done in the past. So, but anyway, Jeb Bush thinks that the president should have the trade authority, I believe. And I've heard, although I have not heard it out of their mouths, so I'm a little bit reluctant to say it, but I've heard that most of the other candidates, including Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio, are also behind the trade authority. And part of their reasoning is every other president besides Richard Nixon since Franklin Roosevelt has had this authority. Well, I'm sorry, but this president isn't like every other president, not in my opinion anyway. And I would not give him this authority. But we shall see what happens, and we won't have to wait long because they'll have to fight it out at the beginning of this week. And then we'll see if this is a done deal or if the deal will yet to be worked out. But it's just so disappointing for Paul Ryan to sit there and say, oh, there's no deal, when we all know that maybe there's not a final deal. Maybe that's what he means. But that's not what he's saying.
Playing semantics with the truth there.
Yeah, but I don't think he's playing semantics. He's saying, even though he told us the other day on the Bill Bennett show, right, the Salem Broadcasting, right, Friday morning, he told the guy that sits in for Bill Bennett, and his name slips my mind right now, but he told him that the president needs this authority to even begin working out a deal. I'm sorry, Mr. Ryan. In another part of the interview, you told us how they've been working on this deal since the last administration, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there's the Hillary factory. Where does Hillary fit in on this? I mean, there's the silence from the Republicans for the most part. They should be all, you know who's been demanding more than anybody else where Hillary stands on the trade deal? You want to take a guess?
Who's that?
Well, it wasn't one of the Republicans. Think of the Democrats who are in this on the fight.
Who, like O'Malley?
Bernie Sanders. It wasn't even Martin O'Malley. Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders was going, where does Hillary stand on this? Somebody needs to ask Hillary where she stands on this, and they need to ask her today.
Wow.
Bernie Sanders. Well, we're relying on Bernie Sanders to make our case for us, to make our argument against Hillary Clinton. We lost. Oh, it's going to be one whale of an election year, folks. It's going to be one whale of an election year. And finally, this afternoon, she did, after her spokespeople this morning, you know, she wasn't on the talk shows. Her spokespeople were on the talk shows. And they basically said, just wait and see. When she gets around to it, she'll make a pronouncement on it. And sure enough, this afternoon she made a pronouncement, and her pronouncement was basically to side with Nancy Pelosi and that we need a better deal. We should take this opportunity to get a better deal. This is the deal that doesn't exist. And I don't know how you can get something. How can you take zero and make zero better? How do you get a better deal out of the one that doesn't exist, Mr. Ryan? This is just... Once again, it's the topsy-turvy world of politics. It's like we say, that's why we say politics is like professional wrestling. What's up today, what's good today, is down, is bad tomorrow. And that's just the nature of it. And it will always be so because it is politics. And at the end of the day, politics is nothing more nor less than the struggle for power. All right, so don't struggle with not listening to us because you got the best talk show on Sunday night, including the best live radio on anywhere in Florida on Sunday night, I dare say. And we want to thank you folks for being out there. Once again, we'd love to have you join the American Adversaries Army. And don't forget, we're lining up to take a cruise on November 13th. That's our Come Sail Away With Me cruise. You can go to vacationtravelplanners.com and find out all about it. It's going to be on a beautiful ship. It's going to be a three-night cruise, Caribbean cruise, leaving out of Port Canaveral over there on the Enchantment of the Seas, which is a Royal Caribbean ship. Beautiful ship. Not one of the huge ships, though, but it's a beautiful ship, and it's going to sail on November 13th. And if you join the American Adversaries Army, or if you are already a member of the Army, you will be entered in a drawing to win a free ticket for that cruise. And by the way, the cabin cost for that cruise, if you join as part of the American Adversaries Army and go to Vacation Travel Planners and go through it like that, you will get that cabin, no matter which level of cabin you get, cheaper than what it's selling for now for at Royal Caribbean.
Really?
Yeah, this ship is selling out, which means the value of that cabin is going up, but the price is staying the same if you go as a member of the American not as a member of the American Adversaries Army, necessarily. You can. That'll enter you in the drawing.
Hello, Florida. This is Mark Merrill. You may know me in wrestling as a star, Johnny B. Bad. I listen to the American Adversaries, and you should, too. Don't let me come and get you, because I'll kick your booty with my two-day booty.
Here comes Johnny B. Bad.
Here comes Johnny B. Bad. Oh, no, he's singing again. Make him stop. Well, you know the way you can make me stop singing? Is by doing contests. That's right. We teased it about 15 minutes ago, said that we were going to do the Who Said That contest, and it is time for you to run to your phones, get that cell phone out, and punch in this number, 407-774-8255. Sorry, our dinger was... our dinger was... Yes, we'll hold on to this for when we actually get the winner, but it was right in the middle of me
the phone numbers.
Looking at the phone number. So 407-774-8255, but don't hit send yet, because we got to tell you what the quote is. And for that, we go to Christopher Hart.
And first, let me tell you about the prize package. Of course, you'll win a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano, the finest Italian restaurant all of Central Florida, where we will be 1 week from tomorrow with a live broadcast of our live remote broadcast of our live drive time primetime show from 5 to 7. And then the Shriners are going to be there. They'll be there the whole time. And we got a caricature artist coming out. I just wanted to
that's going to be so much fun.
Yeah, that's right. Can't wait to see Johnny Gunn's caricature. anyway, come on out there for that. And then Dan Peterson's going to be providing some live entertainment for us as well, a great singer and guitar player. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be raffling some stuff off. We'll have some door prizes. If you're a member of the American Adversaries Army, you'll get a free American Adversaries T-shirt. And it's a My Liberty Threads T-shirt, which is a part of the prize package tonight. One of My Liberty Threads T-shirts with their artwork on it. And you'll receive that along with a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano if you can tell us who said this right here. Who said... Happiness is not the mere possession of money. It lies in the joy of achievement, in the thrill of creative effort. If you know who said that, give us a call. If you get it right, you'll win the prizes, 407-774-8255. And if you haven't gotten a free bottle of Roxy Pacifics, we'll throw one of those in, too, or at least the Roxys will, I should say. It'll be on the rocks. Happiness is not the mere possession of money. It lies in the joy of achievement, in the thrill of creative effort. And if you've won in the last week or two, or last month or two, let's let somebody else get in on the loot. But if you know who said that, give us a call. I'll read it one more time, then we'll go on and we'll come back to it. And by the way, if no one gets it right, the first one to take a stab at it will be declared the winner. Happiness is not the mere possession of money. It lies in the joy of achievement and the thrill of creative effort. If you know who said that, call us.
Happiness isn't the possession of money?
Is not the mere possession
of
money. Nope.
I've been lied to my whole life.
Nope, it lies in the joy of achievement and the thrill of creative effort.
Achievement and creative effort doesn't pay my mortgage.
I was going to say, yeah, as long as the money comes along also. Right? I can understand the mere possession part, but you got to have it in there somewhere. You're going to be a pretty miserable cat.
That's right.
All right, Jeb Bush. Speaking of money, Jeb Bush has raised
his hand. Mr. Moneybags.
Tell us about it, Johnny.
Holy mackerel. I heard on the way in here, $100 million he has already raised.
Which is...
Now, that's an astounding amount, but wait for this, folks. That's more than twice everybody else that has declared has raised combined.
Including Bernie Sanders, O'Malley, and Chafee from the Democrat side.
Even the folks on the other side.
I mean, just have to leave
Holy
Hillary out.
Mackerel.
Oh, I tell you what, this guy's raising money hand over fist, and that is one of the reasons why he's the odds-on favorite. We talked about this, Mike and McBath and I, a little bit the other day on the show. According to the odds makers, Jeb is the odds-on favorite to win the Republican nominee as it stands right now. 37% of the odds of the people betting their money, and people are betting money, are betting that Jeb will win. About 26 are betting Marco will win, and slightly less than that are betting Scott Walker. The rest are distant, you know,
right.
Trailers. But when it comes to money, Jeb is the top dog by far. Mm-hmm. So that qualifies him in my book as clearly the front runner.
Without a doubt.
Because he will be able to go the farthest. You know, and a lot of the primary is just being able to stay in the game, keep in the game. It's as the lesser candidates, they can't stand to lose a primary. They lose a primary or two, and they begin to fall away. Jeb can lose the first. He can lose all the first primaries. He can lose all those first primary states, and he's still in the game.
Of course,
because of that $100 million.
He's got all that money, and he's just going to be spending it. He can spend it wherever and however he wants.
And here's the best news for Jeb Bush. Starting tomorrow, all those people that gave him that $100 million, they can give him another. Yeah, they give him another $100 million.
The rich just keep getting richer.
That's why he didn't declare officially his campaign, so he could raise money, not having to declare it as part of the campaign funding.
Now
he can do his campaign fundraising and collect from the same people. So it's pretty sweet for Jeb right now, and he's going to come out tomorrow with this, you know, aw shucks guy. He's the aw shucks candidate. I'm calling him the aw shucks candidate. Yeah, because he gives you this, you know, this sort of slouch, and you know he won't stand up straight. He doesn't talk passionately. It's like aw shucks. I guess I have to be president. Aw shucks. Oh well. Let's go to the line. We got a contestant who thinks he knows who said happiness is not the mere possession of money. It lies in the joy of achievement and the thrill of creative effort. Willie from Orlando, thanks for calling. We appreciate you listening tonight.
Well, you're welcome. I love your show. And I think I'm wrong, but I've always been a big fan of Pablo Picasso. And back in the day, he probably didn't make much money, but I read an article about him, and it felt to me like that would be the correct answer.
Yeah, he didn't have much money, but he always seemed to have beautiful women around him. I don't know. Maybe that's
artists.
Why. That's
they get
what he
all
meant.
The chicks.
That's what he meant by the thrill of creative effort, I guess. But no, actually, it wasn't Pablo Picasso. But that's a very logical and well reasoned guess.
And I'm going to make one more comment.
Yeah.
As the Republicans come down, one's selected in the primaries, and I'm a Ted Cruz fan. Got to remember, 2 months out prior to the 1980 election, Ronald Reagan was down double digits and won in a landslide. So I think we have a great field. I think we have some really the people that we support, and I think, like you said, it'll be one of the more fun elections to watch in my lifetime since Ronald Reagan.
Well, and I hope the outcome is a happy ending, certainly, but
yeah.
You're right. It's going to be very interesting. Willie, stay on the line, because if nobody gets this, you will be declared the winner by default, and that's not always a bad thing.
Nope.
So, but I appreciate your comments. You know, you're absolutely right. Ronald Reagan was down significantly in the polls to Jimmy Carter, but Ronald Reagan was just a far classier act than Jimmy Carter. And not to take anything away from Ronald Reagan, Willie, but the Clintons, especially Bill Clinton, is a far better politician than Jimmy Carter. And Bill Clinton, he's running this campaign. Make no mistake about it. This man has spent 4 years or more probably mapping out this very campaign.
Yeah.
And he's made some minor adjustments to have to deal with Benghazi and such. But I think he's come up with a strategy that is the best strategy for her. It's the only strategy for her.
Can I add one more comment?
You sure can. Go ahead. I got a couple minutes. Go ahead.
Ronald Reagan did not cater to his non-base. He catered to the conservatives.
Yep.
And if we have one candidate, we will all come out of the woodwork with all the everything. We'll all show up, all 4, 5, 6 million of us, one candidate who sticks to his message. And that's Ted Cruz. And just me talking, but that's what we now, we're talking 30-plus years later.
Yeah.
And Ronald Reagan believed that.
Yeah, I like Cruz a lot, too. I really do. But you're right. And that's another thing that what the Clintons are doing here. They are trying to solidify their base, get a strong and then enthusiastic base, because the middle follows. The middle ground, they're followers, right? And if the base is enthusiastic and strong, they'll tend to follow.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we the Republican candidates have been trying to lead with the middle. They need to lead with the base.
Amen.
And the middle will follow.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You, Willie. Thank you. You're not a follower. You're a leader. All right. All right. Okay. All right. Stay on the line for Jeff. All right. Once again, it was not Pablo Picasso. Although that's.
I liked his reasoning.
Yeah.
I liked the way he worked it out.
Yeah. Me too. Me too. Okay. I got Eva on the line, but Eva, if you'll stay with me, we'll go ahead and take the break. We'll take your phone call as soon as we come back. And if you want to take a shot at happiness is not the mere possession of money, it lies in the joy of achievement and the thrill of creative effort, then give us a call.
Happiness is.
Happiness is. I don't know. Pablo did pretty good. Okay. All right.
So he had possession of something else that made him happy.
Okay. So once again, stay with us. You got the American Adversaries live until 8 o'clock. Hope you're enjoying the show. We appreciate callers like Willie and appreciate all you listeners out there as well. Okay. When we come back, we'll see if we can find a winner to our Who Said That contest. I'll give you another little hint. Think of Hillary's speech yesterday.
Yeah. We've said this person's name on the show tonight.
There's a third hint. All right? Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is former professional wrestler Roxy Astor. I love to wrestle, especially when it comes to politics. For the best in political professional wrestling, I listen to the American Adversaries on AM 660 The Answer, WORL. I'd go to the mat with these guys any day.
Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you got the American Adversaries, and we're live until 8 o'clock, 407-774-8255. We got Eva on the line. Let's go ahead and take Eva's call. Eva, thank you for calling. Did you want to take a stab at the Who Said That quote?
No, I'm not that familiar with that. I just happened to watch Hillary's announcement yesterday.
Yeah.
And the people she was talking to, how does she relate to them? She hasn't done a budget in years. She probably has somebody to do her home budget.
Oh, she has somebody to do everything for her.
Exactly. And she's saying she wants to work for me. How does she know how it is that I do my work and my frame of doing the job I have to do? There's no way in Hades she can relate to me.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, and I think that was part of what she's been doing over the last 4 to 6 weeks, is to go on around, you know, letting the common person talk to her and tell her their concerns. And so she understands that, you know, once again, this is Bill Clinton's campaign. They understand that they are the elite, and that most people know that they are the elite. And so what they have to do is they have to sell you that they are going to, even though they're the elite, they're going to fight for you. And that actually being part of the elite makes it easier for them to fight for you. It's very clever.
If you believe that, I have a piece of property I want to sell you.
I understand. But look, how many tens of millions of people bought it from Barack Obama? I mean, it's the same claptrap. It really is the same claptrap that, you know, I'm your champion, you know, it's your moment, it's all about you, but I'm your champion for you. And, of course, I have to be amongst the elite to really be able to be that champion to fight for you.
Well, the thing, difference, working people, thinking people don't, we're not as dumb as some of these Kool-Aid drinkers. Now, she might get the Kool-Aid drinkers, mm-hmm. and she's got them sewed up.
Well, that's right. You see, and that's about 47% of the voting population. That's that 47%.
At least right now, yeah.
Yeah, that's that 47% that Mitt Romney was talking about.
The problem is she isn't a Barack Obama. The problem is they are not going to go to her like they did Obama.
Well, that's quite possible, as I said earlier.
No, that's what's going to happen because they're not motivated.
Yeah, but Johnny made a point during the break. You said about the Hillary versus Jeb camp.
People are going to get sick of seeing either another Clinton or another Bush in the White House, and you can see a lot of apathy in some voters.
Let me tell you something.
Well, go ahead.
I'm speaking of a person that you know that's very informed or try to stay informed about politics. And to me, that's all media.
Well, that's right, but that's why I say politics like professional wrestling. Mm-hmm. Most of the people who vote aren't like you. They're going to make their decision based on their emotional, you know, feelings, not based on any sort of intellectual exercise.
Well,
and that's why.
But the thing of it is, you do have power within yourself, and you do meet other people, and you do enlighten them.
Right.
I talk to strangers. And I was in a restaurant the other day talking to this man, and he happened to be a black man. He said, "Pray for us. We're in mess." I've never in my life had anybody say that to me.
Well, he's absolutely right about that. But we have to understand what Hillary is doing is she doesn't care about the thinking individuals. She cares about her base. If she solidifies her base, that may be enough to win the election.
Mm-hmm.
And that because especially in a low turnout election, this election, people want change. But if the nominees end up being Hillary and Jeb, the people who want change, many of them will stay home. Mm-hmm. And that will be just fine with her.
As an activist, I will not vote for either one of them.
That's what they want. That's what we're saying. That's what Hillary Clinton wants. She wants people like you not voting because you're so disgusted.
I didn't say I wouldn't vote. You misinterpreted.
Well, you said you'd stay home.
I wouldn't vote for either one of them.
Well, if they're the two candidates, who are you going to vote for?
They won't be the two candidates, I'm telling you.
Well,
he might be one for the Democrats, but Jeb's not going to be. With the crowd we got, he don't have to get very much. He can have all the money you want.
Well, I tell you what, that money is going to make a big difference.
That money is going to go a long way.
But if we that are wanting these other people put the money where our mouth is,
well,
that goes a long way, too.
Here's the problem with that. there are so many other good candidates, it's going to dilute all of their fundraising.
Completely
Jeb
agree.
Bush is still going to get the big money. Mm-hmm. They're going to get left out, and he's going to be the one around at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. I understand your concerns. I understand where you're coming from, but I'm saying you just at this point, the odds makers have Jeb Bush in the driver's seat. The money makers have Jeb Bush in the driver's seat, and we better be careful or Jeb Bush will be the candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing that goes back to the one worlders, both of the Clintons and the Bushes.
I know.
Are one worlders.
I know.
You don't want to be your sovereignty. You were talking about sovereignty and people.
Yeah. That's right.
If you want to be in the world government, you're voting for world government, so wake up.
There you go. I couldn't have said it better. Thank you, Eva.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Okay, we have Sandy now on the line from Longwood, and she thinks she knows who said, happiness is not the mere possession of money. It lies in the joy of achievement and the thrill of creative effort. Sandy, who said that?
Hi.
Hi, how are you tonight?
I'm fine. I think
it's
right from Delano Roosevelt.
You think it was FDR? It was FDR.
That was easy.
Did our hints give it away, or did you just kind of figure it out for yourself?
I just thought about it. I was just thinking
who
said it.
Yeah, and she didn't quote that quote yesterday, but Hillary Clinton was certainly drawing on FDR and, you know, the New Deal and all of that sort of thing. And but it was Franklin Delano Roosevelt who said that. And, of course, he was a great orator like Bill Clinton and like Barack Obama, unlike Hillary Clinton. But certainly she's drawing on the right spirits. Who was it that she was channeling before? It was Eleanor Roosevelt, wasn't it?
Yes, Eleanor.
Yeah, now she's channeling both.
No. Now she's going FDR.
Sandy, I guess we got your information?
Yes, sir.
Oh, all right. Well, I see you're from Longwood. Have you been listening long?
About 3 or 4 years, I guess.
Oh, well, God bless you.
Nice.
Yeah. I tell you, well, have you gotten a bottle of Roxy Pacifics yet?
No.
You have not gotten a bottle of Roxy Pacifics?
Nope.
All right. Well, we'll make sure the Roxy send you a bottle of that stuff, too. So you really hit the jackpot tonight.
Now, she's been to Cafe Positano, right?
Have you?
Yeah, my grandson just rented it. My grandson just had his graduation party there from high school.
Fantastic.
Wow, that's great.
Congratulations
stuff.
To your grandson.
Yeah, all right, yeah.
That's a great restaurant. We love it.
Well, certainly we'd love to see you there on the 22nd when we do our live remote broadcast.
Amen.
Come on out and get your caricature done for free. So
okay.
I'll do it. I can do characters, too.
No,
it'll be a stick figure.
No, we're going to have a real caricature artist. Thank you for the offer, Johnny.
I offered.
We do. Yeah, John from Oviedo, one of our listeners, is a caricature artist, and he's going to come out and do that for us. It's a really great thing. And Dan Peterson, of course, is going to be singing and playing the guitar. Sandy, we'd love to see you and your family out there.
Well, I'll tell my son Darren. He's the one that takes me over there all the time.
All right. Sounds good to me. All right. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Good night. And congratulations.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay, yeah, right now the odds makers have Jeb Bush ahead, and they also, of course, have Hillary way ahead on the Democratic side. But here's the scary part. The odds on the odds makers have Hillary winning the whole shebang.
Oh, really? That's different, because I just pulled it up. I don't know what I'm looking at, but I don't think it's very credible. They have American Pharoah winning the whole thing. So I think I'd rather vote for
at this point, you'd rather have that horse's patoot than the other two horses' patoots, right? Okay, but yeah, Jeb's way ahead on the fundraising, as I said, we got a great field. That's the good news.
Mm-hmm.
We got a great field. That's the bad news.
Yeah,
because it's going to be hard for any one of them to really outraise the others unless they can latch on to an angel, a sugar daddy, if you will, like Sheldon Adelson, who was Newt Gingrich's sugar daddy, kept him in the race for a while, and he seems to favor Marco Rubio.
Yeah,
so,
I was trying to remember who I heard that he was.
Yeah, so Rubio, liking. I think, will raise enough money to keep himself in the campaign a long time, mm-hmm. and he really could be the one who is the threat to Jeb because, once again, he has that emotional appeal. He has that story. He has that gravitas in that sense. And it's natural to him. It just comes through naturally.
He's a good-looking dude.
He is, you know. So
there's something to be said about that.
There is. And his likability.
Yep.
He's a likable guy. And against Hillary Clinton, that would be the clincher. For him, he would be the more likable candidate. That's why the Clintons are, he's the one who freaks them out the most. They think they can deal with Ted Cruz. They think that they can brand Ted Cruz. They think they can brand Jeb Bush. They think they can brand all of them except Marco Rubio. He is branding himself, and it's because it's natural, it's genuine. Not to say that it isn't with Ted Cruz, but Ted Cruz has already branded himself kind of in a way. Marco Rubio is, and he needs to rebrand himself. Marco Rubio is really branding himself in a way that he hadn't done before.
Mm-hmm.
And but the money at the end of the day will make a huge difference. And this all shucks campaign of Jeb Bush's, you know, I believe that's he thinks that confrontation in the political realm is not good. So he will not be that type of candidate. And in that sense, he won't jazz up the base.
Mm-hmm.
He won't.
No.
And if it comes down to him and Hillary, I believe Hillary would win because she would jazz up her base more than he would jazz up our base. So.
Scary thought.
I don't mean to leave it there, but we're up against a break. But nonetheless, it is going to be an interesting next year. Year plus.
And you hit the nail on the head that Jeb wouldn't invigorate the base. Just listen to what Eva said in her phone call just a couple minutes ago.
Yep. All right. And well, we still got another hour to go. 2 hours down, one to go. And Sonny will be joining us in the next segment. Of course, you can join us at
That's
any
right.
time, 407-774-8255. And we would love for all of you to join us at Cafe Positano.
Can I tease a surprise?
You can.
We may have a surprise. I don't want to jinx it, but I think we have a surprise for you guys in the next hour.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
It would even be a surprise to Chris.
It will, because I don't know what in the world this man's talking about. We'll be right back.
AM. When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversaries.
Straight up 7 o'clock with the American Adversaries, and oh yeah, we're going back to Cali. 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 We're going back to Cali because that's where we're going to find our California glow girl, Sunny Patricia Summerlin. How are you doing tonight, Sunny?
I'm doing okay, guys. This Cali girl's a little beat from that move, and still moving, but you know. So I'm happy to be back in my homeland now.
You're back in L.A. now?
Yes, right in the heart of, in Beverly Glen and Wilshire.
Wow. Hey, that's a swanky address.
No doubt.
Yes, absolutely. High rise, loving it.
Well, were you glad to leave Phoenix behind?
You know, I'm missing Arizona.
You are?
Really?
I'm missing my tenants on my property, and kind of sad there, and
made some friends.
But you know what, everything happens for a reason, and on to better things in life.
You're back in your old stomping grounds, so that must feel good, though, as you said.
Yes, absolutely. And it's much cooler here. That's one of the blessings. That heat in Arizona I could do without.
Yeah, we're having a nasty hot day here today, as a matter of fact, ourselves.
How hot is it?
It's in the mid-90s.
Yeah, it feels like it's over 100.
But the humidity is high, you know, and it's kind of stifling. you know, it's not fun to be out in the sun here today.
No, right?
Unless you're at the beach, or poolside or something
Amen.
Like that. But
that's right.
So, well, I know you're getting settled in there, and I know I hate moving. Moving is, you know, it's a lot of work, and it seems like you wherever you go, you never kind of really always get settled in, not for a long time anyway. But
no. We just put some in storage, and, you know, to put furniture in storage is a first for me, so that was just an adventure. And the drive was 9 hours, which normally takes 5 hours because of the truck.
So oh, yeah.
It was like never ending. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Well, I bet your daughters are glad you're back in L.A.
Yes. I have not, of course, got the chance to see anybody yet. It's just been consistent, moving. And, in fact, when the news about Dusty Rhodes hit, I was not aware because I've been out of the whole social media loop, you know. And I had to hear from Michael. Or I think, actually, I told Michael what happened, but I heard it once I did a real quick look on Facebook, and I'm like, is that true? I was shocked.
Yeah, we were shocked here, too, when the news broke the other day. You know, he'd been living here in Orlando because the WWE has this facility here where they're, you know, they train talent. Yeah, training facility. Well, and you know, he was instrumental. You still with us?
Uh-oh.
All right, we just lost her. We'll get her back on the line. But in the meantime, you are listening to the American Adversaries. Christopher Hart here along with Johnny Guns. We'll be live until 8 o'clock. And you heard us talking about the hot weather outside. It is nasty hot out there, so please be careful if you're outside doing anything. Make sure you get plenty of water, and keep yourself hydrated. And
stay away from the caffeine.
From that old caffeine. That's right, because that will dehydrate
you.
Yep. Yeah, it will make you feel awful. We get Sunny back on the line, and we're going to talk with her a little bit about Dusty Rhodes. Of course, he's
69 years old.
Too young.
Way too young.
Yeah, but, of course, he's a wrestling legend. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the Glow Girls are wrestling legends as well. And so we'll talk to her about that. I also want to talk to her about the new minimum wage that she's finding as she gets back to Los Angeles. Was signed into law by the local law, that is, local ordinance, by the mayor this past week after it passed through their council. And so it will be going to $15 an hour by 2020. That's a mere 5 years away. It will go up in increments.
And so will the price of all your Big Macs, and so will all the price of everything else.
Pretty much. And the places where the price doesn't go up, it will only be because those employees will lose their jobs. Okay, we got Sonny back on the line. Hey, Sonny, we lost you. I'm sorry about that.
I know. That's the price of being in these high-rises here, you know. It happens to go in and out there, and the signal probably.
Yeah,
that went bye-bye.
Yeah, but we were just beginning to talk about Dusty Rhodes. Had you ever met Dusty Rhodes in your travels?
Yes, I've met him. I didn't know him well, but of course I know of him, the great, you know, American Dream.
Right.
I mean, who hasn't? He's one of the legends in our field. It's heartbreaking. You know, it's a shocker and it's very sad. He's a good guy, too. And, I guess he lives in Florida. I heard in Larger Than Life out there. So.
Yeah, he was living for the last couple of years here in Orlando. Mm-hmm. You know, Mark Mero, Johnny B. Bad, ran into him in a restaurant here, Mark was telling us. And Dusty had been the one who helped Mark Mero come up with the persona, Johnny B. Bad. And so it was, you know, I'm sure very sad for him, too. But, yeah, a lot of us grew up watching Dusty Rhodes and his epic battles with Harley Race and Ox Baker and superstar Billy Graham and of course, Mike Graham. We expected, of course, him to be around a lot longer. And it's just a sad thing, you know, for wrestling fans all over the country, you know, because we had a fellow on a guest on the show the other day. We were talking about a totally different subject, but I knew he was a wrestling fan, and he had grown up in New England, And, of course, back then, you know, the federations were spread across the country. It wasn't this one WWE, you know, big, huge federation. And so he had never actually seen Dusty Rhodes wrestle, but he knew who he was. He had heard all about him. And, of course, Dusty Rhodes being on the cover of, and being in magazines and stuff, usually with blood, usually with a bunch of blood running down his face.
Right, yes, exactly.
But he was, you know, and he was the American dream, and he made it cool. You know, and but yeah, it's sad to see him.
Yeah, he helped out many in our field, by the way. A lot of great works or wrestlers, if you will, in the business. He's brought up, I think he was behind Michael Sam Houston's success.
Was he? Yeah.
And many great, you know, wrestlers today. So he will be sadly missed. And 69 years old is so young in these, you know, times. And it's very sad. I'm not quite sure what had happened, but there was different reports. It was kidney failure or he took a fall in his home. I'm not sure.
Well, according to the media here, he fell in his home on Wednesday, and then there were complications and kidney failure. I don't know how he injured himself when he fell, but it was actually evidently the kidney failure that caused his death. So, but it was preceded by a fall. Yeah.
Wow. And here we are, guys, as pro wrestlers, and we know how to fall.
We're trained
to take any type of fall. And when that happens, we just got to sit back and go, what the heck? What?
Yeah.
You know.
Ironic.
One of those mysteries,
I didn't think of it that way, but you're right. Mm-hmm. You know, professional wrestlers, that's what it's all about, learning how to fall, take the falls, and deliver them. The minimum wage, it's been raised to $15 an hour right prior to when you got back to L.A. Do people in L.A. not understand that that means that the price of living in L.A. is going to go up with it?
Sure. If anything, that's one thing that I'm disappointed in getting here, guys, is the price of gas because, you know, as in Arizona, we're about a dollar cheaper.
Really?
Because here, and I'm like, oh, yeah, just the cost of living here is ridiculous. Yes, and I agree. Everything will go up to compensate for that 15 an hour, which won't hit, I believe, in what, 2017 it'll start rising, and then 2020?
It starts in 17, and then it goes up like a buck and a half each year until it gets to the, because right now I think it's about 10-something, and it's going to go up about a buck and a half each year until it gets to 2015. And they did cut a little slack for small businesses. I think if you have less than 20 employees, you get until 2021 before you have to pay the $15. But the bottom line is that everything, it just tracks that. It goes right up with it, and it's going to make it harder for people to break in the job market. And probably some places will either close or reduce their employees and replace their employees with technology or something.
Right, because they can't afford to pay them that. You know, they can't afford to pay their new employees at starting rate at 15 an hour. Even these, you know, mom-and-pop businesses that have been thriving here for ages, I'm sure they can't be happy about it. It sounds well and good for, you know, all the younger kids out there because they're thinking, oh, wow, I can get a job at McDonald's and make 15 an hour. But somewhere down the line, someone's going to pay more.
Yeah, that Big Mac is going to cost you more or something. That's for sure. So no question about that. Hey, we got a caller on the line, and he wants to ask you a question about Hillary. You want to take it?
Sure.
Okay, let's go to Darren. Darren, thanks for calling.
Hey, guys, great show.
Thank you.
I have a question for Sunny since she's, for the most part, conservative, but a big Hillary supporter. With everything that's coming
I'd call her more libertarian than conservative, but I'll let her describe herself. But go ahead with your question.
Okay.
I do. Yeah, I do believe I am more. I side with Chris on that.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead, Darren.
Okay. With everything that's come out about her pay to play with the speeches and from the, you know, foreign countries, especially the uranium to Russia, and with the 30,000 emails, I wonder if she's still a big Hillary supporter or if she thinks that there are other people out there that would be better for the country.
You heard the question, Sonny.
I do, and I still stand by Hillary. I still do, and I believe she's going to be in this, and she's got a good chance to win. As far as L.A. here, everyone that I've spoke to, other than the men, I will say, a lot of the men, of course, aren't fond of Hillary, but there is a few, and they're pretty up there in the political world, and they're for Hillary 110%. And most women are as well.
Is there any one overriding reason why? Because what Darren is saying is there's all these reasons why you shouldn't be for her. Is there any one overriding reason why you folks are for her?
Well, they're just stating that she, knows she's been there. She's ran before. And the next best thing is going to be a woman after Obama, either that or, Now, if you've got a choice of your women, who would you pick? Out of all the women that you think would step up as the president, who would you pick, guys?
I would pick.
Let me ask you that.
Well, I would pick Condoleezza Rice for one, and Carly Fiorina's not bad. Meg Whitman, who ran for governor there in California, she's a pretty savvy woman. They don't have political experience. Condoleezza Rice does.
Condi.
Yeah, but so you're saying that the fact that she's been in the game for a long time gives her some advantage and would help her as in terms of being the president.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Aren't you afraid though that she'll disappoint the way Barack Obama has disappointed?
There couldn't be worse than Obama, guys, if it's...
I can't argue with you
she
there.
She does have a point there.
Darren, do you want to follow up on that?
Yes. I mean, I was stationed at Camp Pendleton in the 80s, in the Marines, the late 80s. So I know if it's a Democrat, the majority of Californians are going to vote for it. But other than the fact that she is a woman, I mean, I'm a patriot. I served my country. I'm a combat wounded Marine. I believe strongly in America. And voting for someone because of their genitalia doesn't seem to be a great reason. This woman has sold our country out. It's constantly being proven. She's not doing interviews. She's not releasing her medical records. And she erased 30,000 emails. So, which is against the very oath that she signed with the current president. So if she's willing to break one oath and she's willing to bend some laws, what would stop her from doing it once we give her more power?
Sonny, do you want to respond?
I agree with you on that. I'm listening to you, and if this is the truth and the case, and I'm all for you, and I salute you as well, and all the fine wounded warriors in this world, because you guys are the best. And it sends me to hear what you're saying to that point. But if that is real and conclusive, let's say it's proven, then I guess she will not be our president. Because again, California, like you said, strong Democrats here. I myself was raised Democratic. It's got to be proven. But when you oversee all of it, she's got her husband. Now, what do you think of Bill Clinton?
Well, with Bill Clinton, I'm actually very prejudiced, because as a Marine, with what he did with our troops in Mogadishu and ELF times, he was not a very popular president because of his military stance. I think he had a great domestic policy. I just think his foreign policy was bad. However, I'm not voting for Bill Clinton. Hillary Clinton is on the budget or the ballot.
Right.
And when Hillary Clinton is saying, I erased 30,000 emails that were just between my daughter and friends and my husband, and her own husband says he's only sent one email his entire life, and the federal government has recommended that they investigate this more. She's refused to turn over, and the Democratic Attorney General is not going to prosecute her. How can we tell if it's the truth? My point is, where there's smoke, there's usually fire if there's a lot of smoke.
Sonny?
Oh, yeah. I agree with that. Agree with you on that, Darren.
I think what's at play here, Darren, and correct me if I'm wrong, Sonny, I think a lot of Democrats – even if they're not overly joyed with Hillary Clinton, I think that they see her as being better than the alternative, so to speak.
So far, yes.
Yeah, and that's the problem of the Republicans is to convince these people otherwise, and her taking this stance of being the champion, the fighter for the people, I believe just reinforces that perception that exists amongst Democrats, and that is that, you know, the Republicans are really the bad guy in this play, and if the Democrats have to do all these things that you listed there, Darren, it's only because they have to do it in order to beat the bad guys. And that's why I say, you know, the Clintons are very smart in this strategy, because they understand the emotions that are at play here. When people view someone as a champion, they will accept all the flaws and all the warts that go along with it.
Yep.
Thank you, Darren. Excellent phone call. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Sonny,
yeah, thank you, Darren.
Sonny, great talking with you tonight. We got to go, though, so we'll let you get back to unpacking.
Thank you so much, guys. It's always a pleasure. And have a sunny day. Humid, I should say. Sunny. Out there. Until next Sunday.
All right.
Take care. God bless.
Same to you. Same to you, girl. Okay, folks, we'll be right back.
The battle is heating up. You're listening to The American Adversaries on 660 WORL
and on 1520 The Biz.
If you can take it.
Yeah, it's Sunday night. The American Adversaries on,
Who are you?
660 The Answer. Yeah, right here on a Sunday night. It's a three-hour tour for you.
Do you like my surprise?
I was going to say, you're getting pretty good at imitating Dennis's, Dennis's voice there.
I actually kind of thought we should have brought it back and played his theme music. I mean, even though he's technically not predicting anything.
I'm predicting that I wasn't here, and now I'm here. And
that is, folks, Nostradamus, ducked into the studio here for a little while tonight. Where have you been?
Well, just to clear things up, I'm not back. I'm just visiting. If you really want the details... And I really can't tell a lot of the details, honestly, because you know the inside story, Chris.
Yep.
You're really going to have to join the American Adversaries Army. It's well worth the time it'll take to get in there and click and get the intel brief that comes out every month. Now, I put a piece in the last intel brief that kind of sketches out the details.
Well, it's the current one, the June intel brief, the last one we've put out.
Yep. Basically, this is what I can say. You know how our friend Daria Monroe...
Yeah.
It's the name of her adoption agency?
Embrace by Grace.
Embrace by Grace. The very day that legislation was announced that was going to be going through the Florida House, she got a call, her agency got a call from a gay couple that wanted to adopt a child through them.
Right.
That is not an accident, okay? The reason I'm not on the air is because I had to make a choice. I had to make a choice between the job that pays my bills and my free speech. And without going any further and towing the line and jeopardizing anything, let me just say to whoever out there placed whatever anonymous call triggered all these things, all I can say is the truth will come out and you will be embarrassed. That's all I can say.
And once again, to join the American Adversaries Army and get that intel brief, It's real easy to do. Just go to our webpage, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. Go to the recruiting office. For a mere $5 a month, you will be able to see how the mystery played out.
Yeah.
And you'll also get great coupons and discounts at our sponsors. You'll also get this on a monthly basis, and you'll be entered into a drawing for a 3-night cruise. And it's going to depart on November the 13th. And the enchantment.
Look at that brochure.
I'm telling you, this ship really looks nice. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Can we go on this now?
Play a little basketball
you sure
on
can.
The deck. Look at this.
Yeah. You sure can. And by the way, folks, the prices that you will pay for these cabins are now lower than the market price for these cabins. In other words, if you were just to go to Royal Caribbean or some other cruise planner and want to sail on this ship on that particular cruise, you'll pay more for the same cabin than if you go on as part of our Come Sail Away With Me entourage.
Isn't Merrily awesome?
She is the baddest.
Look at this. Nobody... Specialty dining options. They have chops grilled. They sell you socialist ice cream, too. Well, Ben and Jerry's. That's what they do. But it's delicious.
Well, it is. It is. Yeah, they're like Volvo. They may be socialist, but they know how to make the product, right? So just go to vacationtravel.com. vacationtravelplanners.com. That's vacationtravelplanners.com. And you can see the cabins. I mean, you can see the layout of the ship and all that stuff.
You can see the happy people playing basketball.
Yeah. And for $100, you can reserve your cabin. And if you want to call Merrily, 321-251-4777 is the number, 321-251-4777. But mainly, please do go to the American Adversaries webpage and sign up for the American Adversaries Army. Like I said, for only $5 a month, you'll get that great newsletter and a lot of other great things as well. And you will be entered into a drawing for a free ticket on that there cruise.
Mm-hmm. Is that a lottery, Johnny? Should we talk to the legal department and investigate this?
I am not weighing in on this. If you're going to ask me that, I'm going to ask how that tell-all book on the American Adversaries is coming.
Oh, my God. Oh, well.
The tell-all. behind the scenes.
Our listeners are listening because they like what we do. They may not agree with us, but they like what we do, and they like the fact that we say what we believe. So I encourage all of you out there, you don't have to be a radio host to say what you believe and to stand up for your beliefs. And we need more of that, and the left is doing everything they can to squelch the conversation, not to try to make points, not to try to win arguments, but to try to stop them before they start by saying, oh, that's racist, oh, that's sexist, oh, you're evil.
Well, it's like that book Kirsten Powers wrote, Silencing, Free Speech.
Yeah.
And there's another great new book out, the same sort of theme, how the left is silencing free speech in many ways, not just in the political arena, folks, in many ways in our lives, in schools, in the places where we work, in all kinds of institutions in our society. Free speech is being squelched. It is, people are trying, these liberals are trying to stomp it out. We have to stand up to it. We have to stop it. We have to fight as best we can with the tools that we have. And we have to be patient and persistent and look for our opportunities and don't pick the wrong fights. All right. Okay. We got Diane from Apopka who would like to speak to Dennis. Diane, that's Nostradamus. Diane, thanks for calling.
Hi, Diane. How you doing?
I miss you so much.
Thank you for your kind words on Facebook and an email. I appreciate that you appreciate that. I just love being here, and I'm going to do what I can to be here on future Sunday nights.
Yep. We really appreciate that. We love you, and we miss you, and we so understand what's going on.
I'm holding my hands in that little thing where you have a little heart. If Lucas was here.
You're doing the Taylor Swift
little
heart thing.
Yeah, you have a little heart out of my thumbs
and
four fingers.
I think, Diane, you express it quite well for all of us, Diane, because I feel the same way, and I know our listeners do, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Our prayers are with you. Absolutely.
And I know Lair is not doing the show because of family commitments, and as I said to Chris, you know what? We're a family, too, and we may not have the same mothers and fathers, but you know, we have a tight bond, all of us. I'm talking about Carl. I'm talking about Mike McGrath. I'm talking about all you listeners as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Even though Dennis and Lair may not always be in the studio with us, they're always in the studio with us.
Yeah. Well, you guys are in our hearts for sure.
All right.
And we really love you.
Thank God for listeners like you. Thanks. Thanks, Diane. We appreciate you.
Here. Thank you, Diane. Right. I get the tissues.
All right. Okay. Well, don't start crying because we got some WTF news. We won't make you laugh until you cry.
I don't know. I think that may make you cry.
Can't wait for this.
All right. Don't go away, folks. We'll be right back.
Hey, y'all, this is heavyweight professional wrestler Sam Houston. You know, I know true champions in the political professional wrestling ring. The American Adversaries on AM 660. The answer, these guys power drive liberal baloney.
Michael, Sam Houston, Sonny's friend. And friend of Dusty Rhodes. I did not know that he had a big hand in Michael Sam.
Dusty Rhodes had, especially, since the WWE became the big federation nationwide, he had a lot to do with a lot of the personas, the caricatures.
Sure, because you need people who know what they're doing and have done it to help guide the Young Bucks up. Yep. Speaking of the Young Bucks, we have a Young Buck sitting right here who's been spending, three of the last 4 days putting together all the strangest, most bizarre news we know you want to hear. And, of course, we call it WTF News because it's done on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. That, of course, is none other than our man, Johnny Guns.
Thank you, Nostradamus. It's good to be introduced by you once again.
I can leave now. Thank you. Good night.
Hey, what am I, chopped liver over here?
Hi. I see you every week. I barely see Nostradamus at least five times a week.
That was music to my ears, too.
All right. You know what's not music to my palate? Tofu.
Mine either.
Yeah. Let me give anybody who likes tofu, I'm going to give you a reason not to eat it with my first story here.
Like we need one.
Doctors at Dongyang City People's Hospital treated a 55-year-old patient identified as Mr. Ho, who was complaining of stomach pain. Doctors ordered a CT scan, which revealed that his left kidney, left kidney, was filled with 420 stones.
Oh,
now,
God.
Your kidney isn't that big to begin with, and it has 420 stones. But that's not the jaw-dropping part. Just wait till the end of the story. Dr. Wei Yubin said the man's love of tofu and lack of water likely led to his condition. Yubin said soy products, especially gypsum tofu, are very high in calcium, the excess of which cannot be excreted from the body without a sufficient intake of water. Doctor said Ho, who previously had 10 kidney stones removed about 20 years ago, could have lost his kidney if he had waited longer to receive medical attention. This man's uncomfortable condition may have been painful, but it doesn't make him a world record setter. Nope, the Guinness World Record for most kidney stones removed from a patient's left kidney was set in 2009. In India, a surgeon removed 172,155.
No, come on.
That's the Guinness Book of World Records.
A beach full of pebbles right there.
Yeah, that's it.
Insane. Oh, since we're having so much fun in China, let's stay in China.
Well, you know, that explains something, though. When I go to, eat Chinese food and it has tofu in it, you get really thirsty.
Very salty, for one.
Well, I guess that's what it is, but maybe the tofu has something to do to it I don't know.
I don't know, but you better be drinking your water if you're eating tofu.
I drink. Yeah, I drink.
All right, police in China.
Never mind. I'll hold that thought.
Story number two. Police in China released a video of a drunken man posing as an officer in attempt to secure the release of a friend.
Wow.
Now, you may think that this is a good friend, but no. The good friend would be sitting in the jail cell right next to him, not trying to get him out by posing as a police officer.
No, the good friend would have come in with some cash money and bailed him out.
Happiness is not the possession of...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Investigator said...
He was being creative, right?
Right. Investigator, very creative. Investigator said the man came into the police station after 21 people were arrested in an illegal gambling sting, and the guy came to claim to be a police officer from Chengdu. Officials said the man, who smelled strongly of alcohol, maybe that's the first thing that let you know that he's not a cop. He told officers he was looking for one of the suspects arrested in the sting to transport him to another facility. However, police were suspicious of the man's story, and he eventually admitted he was posing as an officer in an attempt to have his friend released from custody. The man, who said that he learned police procedures when he previously worked as a police assistant, admitted to his deception in court and was jailed for 5 days. This is the kicker. Police said the friend the suspect was attempting to free turned out not to be those arrested in the gambling
thing. So he wasn't even in there.
He wasn't even in there.
Whoops.
Whoops. So he ended up getting 5 days in jail. I wonder if his friend, if he's with his phone call, be like, yeah, can you dress up as a cop and try and get me on?
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. We're going to end with a story that's close to my hometown, Greenwood, Indiana. Police arrested a drunken Indiana man after they say he walked into a stranger's house, dressed only in his boxer shorts, eating potato chips. You can be arrested for that.
I'm telling you, that's Saturday afternoon at my house, baby.
That's usually how I end up going home to visit my dad.
For me, that's formal dining.
Yeah. The 19-year-old was charged with illegal consumption, residential entry, disorderly conduct, and intimidation. Officers responded to a home in Greenwood early Sunday after a resident who had been sleeping on the couch woke up to an incoherent man standing in his living room in nothing but his underwear eating his chips. Police picked up the 19-year-old as he walked down a nearby street still in his underwear. Despite his claims of sobriety, yeah, right, he ended up blowing a .106. In Indiana and other states, of course, 0.08 is the legal drunk limit there. Officers transported him to a nearby hospital where he yelled at doctors and officers, "I'm going to snap both of you at the same time."
Oh, well, the thing that drinking will drive you to do.
No doubt.
All right, great work, Johnny. I got a couple here real quick. You know, we had Abe on this past Monday. I was joking around that Orange is the New Black. You've heard that TV show?
Yeah.
Orange is the New Black List is what I was saying, because Orange is I think a French telephone company that decided to boycott Israel. Well, that was Monday. Today, White is the New Black.
Oh, boy.
Have you guys heard this story?
No, go on.
About Rachel Dolezal, I think is how you pronounce her name, D-O-L-E-Z-A-L. Rachel Dolezal is the leader of the NAACP chapter in Spokane, Washington, who has been for a long time portraying herself as black. Turns out both of her parents are white.
All right, how is this possible?
Well, you've heard that Bill Clinton was the first black president.
Sure. Carl and I were talking about this yesterday.
White is the new black.
Yes. Oh,
so if you feel like a woman, you can be a woman.
Right.
If you feel black,
you can be black.
You can be black. Right.
Do I have to dance? Because I don't dance black.
No, you don't.
I'm the whitest dancer I know.
Elizabeth Warren ain't got nothing over on this woman. She was actually passing herself off as black, not just claiming it, but passing herself off as black. And now, of course, she's been found out, and she is going to speak about, or she's at least going to speak at a group meeting Monday night. And she says that she is going to address the issue. How do you address the issue?
And is it even an issue?
Black? You know, I mean, what, is she going to talk like it too? I mean, if we were to do this, we would be called minstrels and racists and bigots, right?
Yes. Right.
You remember the old minstrel show?
Mm-hmm. Ted Danson got in trouble doing that at a party in Hollywood with his, at the time, girlfriend, Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Oh, my God. Do you know the actress Mindy Kaling
from
The Office? Uh-uh. Have you heard what her brother did?
No.
Her brother was a PhD. He was going for his PhD, and he was trying to get into med school. And in the process of doing that, he did up a resume that had his name, his accomplishments, everything. He also did up another resume that had an African-American sounding name. He redid a photo of himself so that he would look more African-American. He's a dark-skinned man of Indian descent. And that resume got better response than the Indian resume he put through because, well, it's Indian doctors, we got plenty of them. But hey, check this guy out. He's African-American. Come on in. Let's have an interview.
It would really, you know, let's just say it's demeaning to black people.
Sure.
When that becomes the overriding part of their identity.
Right. When they're assumed that they can't make it, they can't succeed without a hand up from the white guy.
Yep. All right. Well, maybe there is something in this that we could call Gluckschmerz.
Bless you.
Gluckschmerz. Can you say that on the radio?
No, you just did, but you can't.
Got his hand on the dump button.
Breaking rules.
You guys have Schadenfreude?
Schadenfreude. That is taking glee in others' misfortune.
Okay. Gluckschmerz is taking pain in someone else's pleasure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's the opposite. Wow. That's right.
Yeah, but this is a word that you've probably never heard of because nobody knows where it came from, or even if it is a word.
But it is a thing.
It is a thing.
It is a thing. I've seen it.
It is a thing. So you might be in the near future hearing more, or at least feeling more, of Glucksmurs, especially if Hillary Clinton wins the election. We will be feeling a lot of pain.
That's a good term for Hillary becoming president. Glucksmurs.
She Glucksmursed us all. All right. Anyway, Johnny Guns, you got something going on over to your church, don't you?
Yeah, and I need to transition it because I can't what I just wrote down to Dennis about Glucksmur. Yeah, something that's real important.
That's Smurs with a Z.
Smurs. Something that's real important to me and has really touched me. I've gotten involved with a program called Regroup. I go to Summit Church, which is located in downtown. There are a couple other locations.
Downtown Orlando?
Downtown Orlando, right off of Herndon by the Fashion Square Mall.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And Regroup is for anybody who has a hurt, habit, or hang-up that they need help dealing with.
Wouldn't that really be all of us?
It really is.
Think about
all
it.
Of us, for sure.
But especially if you feel like you cannot get in control of this yourself. Yeah. It's almost like a 12-step recovery program. And so I've been a part of it, and there's something...
But now, this isn't just for substance abuse.
Correct. It can be any type, and that's kind of what I'm leading into here. Over the summer, for this month and the next month, we're going to be holding 60-minute seminars. And what these are, anybody who may be dealing with one of these issues, or you may know somebody who's dealing with these issues. For example, we've been talking about anxiety and depression, sexual addiction, shame, alcoholism, codependency, eating disorders. It's a 60-minute seminar that's being held at our Herndon campus. It's 6:30 at Monday. It's Monday nights at 6:30. It's only 60 minutes, and you know, we have a speaker that comes in and just gives a lecture about you know, what people may be dealing with, and maybe you're not dealing with it, but maybe you know somebody who is. Maybe there's a family, maybe a family member, a friend, somebody that you work with. Where if it doesn't necessarily pertain to you, you may know someone who does, and it helps you start a conversation with that person. And
do people need to register? Can they just show up?
Don't need to register. If you want more information, you can Google 60-minute seminars Summit Church, and it'll take you right to the site.
Now, is it anonymous if you're embarrassed to have these kind of issues? You just walk in.
Completely anonymous. I went to the one last Monday. And it was on anxiety and depression. Nobody asked me information. I didn't have to fill anything out. And I was one of probably 200 people in this auditorium.
Because I know you were anxious about that going in.
Okay, yeah. This is at the Summit Church. Where
Summit
again?
Church at Herndon. It's right off of Herndon Avenue. I believe it's 635 or 735.
It's right behind the Fashion Square
Mall.
Right
behind the Fashion Square Mall. Used to be the old AMC 8 theater there.
That's right. Start your life over again. You can only live twice, folks. We'll be right back.
It's political, professional wrestling at its finest. The American Adversaries on 660 WORL and on 1520 The Biz.
Welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. You got us until, well, just a few more minutes, and then you got Mark Walters, Armed American Radio, take you live until 11 o'clock. Don't forget, Tuesday evening at the Eastmont Civic Center, you can listen to us on the way over there and then head on inside and catch Carl Jackson and Wallace Brushweiler. Now, Wallace is going to be on the show tomorrow, and he and Carl will be speaking, and that meeting is Tuesday, Eastmont Civic Center. Doors open 6:30. It is free. Head on over there and check them out. And Johnny was just saying, we don't need Glucksmurs. You already had a word for that, right? Tell us what.
Hey, what, dominatrix?
Yeah,
don't ask me how I know about those.
Yeah. What did the sadist say to the masochist? And what did the masochist say to the sadist?
What?
Hurt me. What did the sadist say back?
What?
No.
All right. We're about to wrap it up here tonight, and I wanted to tell you about Caitlin. And no, not that Caitlyn. Let me just say about the Jenner thing. By the way, Bob Costas, you know, and he's usually the big liberal over there, right. You know, at ESPN and stuff.
A lot
you know,
of times, yeah.
He was behind Michael Sam's coming out with gay and in football and all that stuff.
Costas is NBC, though.
Okay, well, okay, but anyway, he's made a comment. You're right, NBC. He's made a comment about the ESPY award being given to Jenner. That you know, it's he called it a spectacle, a show. Mm-hmm. He's taking a lot of criticism for that. Mm-hmm. And right. Matter of fact, one of the local sports writers, and I see I must. Oh, here it is. The sports writer being David Whitley. Has said he wrote an article in Friday's paper called Costas Can Question ESPN Decision to Honor Jenner. Basically, he's sticking up for Bob Costas's right of free speech, mm-hmm. if you will, and not to take heat from NBC that for saying things like, it strikes me, this is Bob Costas, it strikes me that awarding the Arthur Ashe Award to Caitlyn Jenner is just a crass exploitation play. It's a tabloid play. Costa said on Dan Patrick's radio show. In the broad world of sports, I'm pretty sure they could have found someone, and this is not anything against Caitlyn Jenner, who was much more closer, actively involved in sports. That's his grammar, folks. Was much more closer, actively involved in sports, who would have been deserving of what that award represents. And he went on to reiterate what he was saying. Basically, what he's saying, and I'm going to put it more bluntly, and I was thinking about this last night, and this is how I'm going to start characterizing this whole thing with Jenner. It's a freak show. It reminds me of the bearded lady, and you remember the carnivals and even the fairs. You go down and you see the freak show.
Yeah,
that is what this is. Now. Transgenderism and all the mental and psychological issues that come into play here aside, this is a freak show. And it is being made into literally a freak show, a quote-unquote reality TV show, where people are going to watch it to see the freak.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they are going to watch it, because of this freak of nature, if you will. And it is no more a freak of nature than what Ripley used to present.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
believe it or not.
Right. Who was it that said a sucker is born every minute?
P.T. Barnum.
P.T. Yes. Barnum. This is right out of their book.
Now, question, Johnny. Who is the girl, the high school college basketball player?
Lauren Hill
was another nominee for that award. Do you know what would be a brilliant marketing ploy for Caitlyn Jenner? And Caitlyn, Bruce, if you're listening, for him to go up on stage at the ESPYs, accept that award, and say he's accepting it on behalf of Lauren Hill and give it to her family. Do you know how that would bring his reputation up in the eyes of so many people?
Yeah, it would, but unfortunately, that wouldn't fit in with the freak show.
It's a shame.
It is. It is, because everybody thinks Bruce Jenner's doing these folks a favor. No, he is making them out to be freaks. I'm sorry. But that's really what's going on here. And I applaud Bob Costas for saying the same thing in his much more polite way. And by the way, there's another Caitlyn out there that we should be knowing all about, that we know nothing about. Her name is Caitlyn Coleman. Have any of you guys ever heard? Neither had I.
Never heard the name?
Neither had I ever heard of Caitlyn Coleman until I found out today because of a Green Beret talking about how this administration is screwing up these rescue attempts for hostages. Caitlyn Coleman is a hostage being held in Pakistan who just gave birth while being held hostage in Pakistan.
She's a U.S. citizen?
She's a U.S. citizen. Caitlyn Coleman. That's the Caitlyn we should be hearing about on the news, mm-hmm. not this freak who's going to make himself even more wealthy by being a freak. That is a freak show, and it's freakish that we don't know about Caitlyn Coleman.
Amen.
And I don't even know how she became a hostage.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter, but we'll try to find out. Pray tonight, folks, for both of the Caitlyns, for the freak, because he's lost. Mm-hmm. And for Caitlyn Coleman, because she is lost and nobody even knows it. All right, we're going to leave you once again with Lloyd Marcus, back by popular request, just like Nostradamus.
Yay!
This is Dreams from his CD, God, Country, and Love. Great CD. You can get it at LloydMarcus.com. Nostradamus, so great to have you back. Johnny Guns, great job. Jeff, and thank all you folks out there. Night, everybody. Every day to get a check, but what a price to pay. Performing like a machine, never knowing what it means. Take a break on weekends, then we do it all again. We have a choice, it's truly quite profound. It's to exist or move to higher ground. Step out in faith for your dreams, as frightening as it seems. Better that you take a chance than think what might have been. There comes a time in your life when you must dream, for things are never as bad as they seem. There's a bright new day, it's always on its way, but it's up to you to dream. Oh, you gotta sing your song, and you gotta trust your heart. Yes, you gotta take that step. Cynics turn you around. So you gotta build that boat, and you gotta write your book. Yes, you gotta run that race. Don't let those critics bring you down.
Service of Salem Communications. Intelligent, conservative, AM 660. The